Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair Radio.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off. 18 and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my head. I am not this thin. I am not your expectations, no, no.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my head.
Your expectations, no.
I am not my head.
I am not the skin.
I am the soul that lives within.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh. Does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my breast cancer and chemotherapy. Took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh. On national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining. Singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, 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 hey,
hey.
I am not this skin.
I am not your expectations, no.
I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am a soul
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us today. She's actually a new addition to the lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is my honor to welcome Monika. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie.
Yes. So I want us to just kind of jump right on in to all the fray here. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Monika. We know that you're coming to our daily broadcast here, but tell us why.
Well, I feel like it's a big need for people to kind of hear from the stylist and their point of view and, you know, our experiences, because sometimes people just look at us a certain way as far as we have all the answers. But to be able to get the public point of view is phenomenal. And I've been in the industry for, I guess, a little over 22 years. Don't try to guess my age. But a little over 22 years.
I was trying to add. Couldn't do it fast enough.
And I actually got in the industry on an accident.
Really?
And yes, it's a funny story. I'm an Air Force veteran.
Awesome.
And I was
Thank you.
I was stationed in Japan, and so I was doing my hair. Honey, I kept that hair done every week. And people were like, so who's doing your hair? And I'm like, well, I had a routine. I get off work on Friday, I do my hair, and, you know, that's what it is. And so I ended up with a clientele, and I discovered that not only did I have blessed hands, that I loved what I did. And so when I got out of the service, I moved back home to Chicago, where I'm born and raised. And I looked into beauty school, and I attended Dudley University, Chicago.
Dudley. Yay for Dudley. We love Dudley. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yes. I love Dudley, too. They gave me a phenomenal foundation as far as education and professionalism.
Yes.
They really instilled in us
the whole
what
industry.
It is. They yes. do, yeah. Like, they really instilled in us what it is to be a yes. hair care professional.
Yes, absolutely.
And so from there, I've done a lot of traveling. Like I said, I went to school in Chicago, and then I moved to Dallas, Texas. And then I moved back to Chicago, then to Atlanta, and I'm actually back in Dallas now.
Oh,
and with
my.
That has allowed me to interact with so many different people in the industry and out of the industry, and it really did is just flourish my love and my passion for what I do. And in that journey, I've learned that right now we have a serious epidemic of hair loss, extreme hair loss. Lots of women out here with medical issues that are leading to extreme and severe hair loss. And so I've been focusing and directing my career in that direction, being able to cater to those women and help them regain their self-confidence.
Exactly. And I speak to that as well in the sense that you know, there are a lot of alopecia organizations out there, but there really isn't one that addresses the needs, especially for women of color. I've noticed in the community who deal with traction alopecia. I don't see enough about it. The organizations that I've encountered, who've actually been on my show as well, They deal with every other alopecia. You know, there are many. They deal with every other alopecia, but they don't address or even acknowledge, from what I found, the issue that face a lot of women of color. And so, yes, it could be argued, of course, that it's one that is, you know, totally avoidable and all of that. But I love the stylists like yourself who come on the show and say, listen, this is a real thing, and you are going to help those women out there with it. And I'm blown away. So, Monica, wonderful, wonderful, great stuff. Okay.
Thank you.
Now you are out there in the DFW, I call it, that's the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Have you found, and you've been, you know, especially through your travels to Japan and being a servicewoman and doing all, a service person, I should say, and doing all these amazing things and not being afraid to travel. See, that's the other thing, and I love that about you, not being afraid to go and just, replant yourself. And kind of, I love that. So where did that come from? What was that germ inside of you that says, don't be afraid of change?
You know what, Carrie? I don't know. I think the biggest thing is I might bore easily. I'm unsure, but I love it. I mean, it's exciting. Like I said, no matter where I go, I easily connect with people. So now that I'm trying to root here in Dallas this time. I'm trying to be still, but I still have friends and connections in all of those other areas. I try to stay connected with everybody. So I don't know. I just like change and, hey, what's that over there? I think it's the inquisitive part of me.
Well, I'm loving it. And you talk about, you know, remaining connected. That's what this show is all about. I'm here in New York. Of course, everybody knows I'm based out of Brooklyn, New York, and I'm from Philly. So shout out to all my Philly family members and all that. But I also have to say, you're out in Dallas area. And our listeners, we have tons of listeners between us, as well as folks who are all over the world, literally. So we have to. So the wonderful thing is that everybody can stay connected. When you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, you can kind of say hi to the family. You can say hi to the friends wherever they are, literally. You know, that's the wonderful thing. And that's kind of the reason I brought the show to the Internet, because we started in terrestrial radio, as you might be aware, on AM and FM in different markets. But this has been just a worldwide movement. So I wanted to ask you, Monica, what is it with the business? You've been out there, I think, 22 years. I mean, that's a long time in the hair business. Have you noticed any changes? I mean, is it the same business and industry that you started that's reflected today, or is it a little bit different?
Oh, my God, Carrie, it's funny that you say that. I feel like it has changed. It's changed drastically, and when I say it's changed, I think the mentality of the new stylists and barbers is totally different. So basically the integrity and the morality of the industry has changed. So they don't even approach the industry like we did. And when I say that, more so like they're looking at it more like a hustle. When we came in, we were looking at it more as a career. And for that alone, it makes a huge shift in the industry. Even small things like supporting one another, sharing information, even down to using professional products as opposed to just using what you can get your hands on. And just listening to the client and how they feel in regards to how their experience today is much different than it was in latter years. It's like, wow, what do we do? How do we connect? How do we get their attention and say, hey, let's try to get back to what it used to be? Because sometimes if it ain't broke, don't mess with it, you know?
Right, that's right. Well, what I love about what you said, Monica, and that is that how do we get it back? And I think that's one of the reasons why I developed the Hair Radio Show. I saw this 25 years ago in 1995. And ironically, it has the need for what we're still literally covering the same types of topics that I covered in 1995. Especially with regards to like natural hair and all of that. So it's just been an interesting thing. The trade shows and all of the folks. But I kind of second what you say. I definitely feel that I wish there were times that could, you know, we could kind of harken back to those golden days, so to speak, in the industry, and everything seems to be just overflowing and flourishing. But I do see a big wave. I call it a black wave happening as we watch television and see all of this wonderful talk about race and ethnicity. And so there might be opportunities for us to kind of, you know, become more supportive and all of that. So we'll have to do our part. That's what I think we've got to do, Monique. I think we've got to do a part. Hey, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a wonderful new addition to our amazing lineup right here with us on the air. Her name is Monica. Now, she is a stylist out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area now, out of Texas. So we're so happy to have you with us, Monica.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Carrie.
Yes. Well, this is just the beginning. So I wanted to turn to some of the talk of what you're planning to do right here on our broadcast. I understand that there's some things that you kind of want to address, and you're going to do it. You're going to use your time to do it right here on our broadcast. So what are some of the things that kind of jump out at you that you might want to share with our listeners? And just give us a little preview today.
Well, one of the things that strikes me first and foremost would be things that I thought about while being on quarantine. And one of those things that jumped out to me was, are you doing hair or doing business? And when I say that, there are some people that were not eligible for a lot of the things that were offered to self-employed or small business entities because they did not have their business in order. So they're just doing hair. They're going in, they're doing the client, they're getting that immediate gratification of hand, of money in hand, and moving along instead of having their business set up to be recognized as an actual business entity. So I thought that was important.
Well, before you go there, that's a plan. What you've just said is a plan, and you really hit it on the head with just the immediate gratification of getting paid. And kind of it reminds me of back in those days when I would go into the shops, into the salons, largely back in the mid-90s, there were not very many computers there, and if at all. And everybody just had cash in and cash out. And,
oh, my God, it was burning a hole in our hands.
Yes, it was just a very different business. But you're right. There were so many folks out here who could not necessarily take advantage of some of these amazing opportunities that seem to have arisen from this awful, dreadful situation that we find ourselves in terms of quarantine, et cetera. But I have to say, folks like yourself who are out here making a difference and reminding us of this, so, you know, helping folks to just stay focused on business, don't just do hair, as you were pointing out. You know, you got to do business, and you got to look long term, and this is one of those ways to do it is by participating with the show. So we love this. Now, what else do we have on the list? I guess I'm trying to say,
client and stylist boundaries.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, you tend to, especially, you know, we get a lot of clients that come in, and you get that type of friendship rapport with them because of the things that they share with us, the things that we talk about. And some clients tend to take that over the line and not recognize the boundaries of client and professional. That this is still, once again, this is still a business. So love you, sis, but there won't be any hookups. And when you're trying to establish that boundary, sometimes it causes a little tension. And so it does make it an uncomfortable situation a lot of times for the client and the stylist. But if those boundaries are set in the very beginning, once again, reverting back to that first topic, establishing yourself as a business, then there's no need to feel that those boundaries would ever be crossed.
Wow, I think that says it all to me. I love that at the beginning. See, that's the real key. You can always address things, you know, if you kind of even allude to it at the beginning. Now, you may have to go back later and you might need to, you know, refine it or retool it or whatever, but if you kind of address it, at least it makes it so much easier. And that, again, like you said, it goes back to professionalism. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a little less tense and uncomfortable because I've seen a lot of the younger stylists get uncomfortable when the situation gets out of hand and they're like, well, how do I fix it? And I don't want to lose my client if I say don't, you know.
Well, speaking of losing clients, I happen to know, because I took a peek at your list. So I happen to know this already. That, you know, that sometimes the stylist might be afraid that they might lose a client. And, you know, about pricing, you know, there comes a time that, I want you to talk to this because this is a big, this is huge right now about prices. A lot of the salons, the stylists have decided to increase their prices, and rightfully so in my book. But what can you say about this whole price increase topic?
You know, I was once that stylist in my younger, in my young, the earlier
the young
part of my
Monica.
Career.
Okay.
Where I was scared too, and I mean, it's a legitimate fear because the clients come in and they're used to coming in and paying a certain price. But nobody, once again, ever thinks of us as a business, and we have to be able to keep up with what's happening with the rest of the economy. So when the groceries and the gas go up, hey, we need to be able to afford it too. So it gets a little scary. Like, will they leave me because they're so used to? But I think at that particular time, it has to be explained in a way where they can actually empathize with the whole situation. Like, hey, you know, this is a business. This is what I'm going to need to do. And, you know, I really kind of need you to respect it. But right now, like you said, coming off of the quarantine, we've all had to be put in a situation where we're taking less clients, but we're still working the same amount of hours. And so at that particular time, it's like, hey, how do I compensate or how do I get back to what I'm used to making? And I've heard a lot of the stylists feel real uncomfortable with doing price increases. But, you know, you got to kind of just, once again, for me, it's all about being respected as a professional. It's easier to get it accomplished if they respect you and understand that it's a business than it is if it's like, well, hey, girl, I'm just going to go up to $100 today. You know what I'm saying? It makes a big difference. So I don't know.
Well, you know how I weigh in on this, and there are so many different things and so many different ways to look at it. But the biggest thing for me is that right now everybody is sharing in this awful, dreadful nightmare for the world, literally. So it should not be a surprise. If it is a surprise to you that I may need to go up a few, $3 or $4 or $5 or whatever it is, to account for your safety and security while you're entrusting me with your hair care, then you need more than I could do just fixing the hair on your head. So,
but you know what, though, Carrie?
Yes.
I'm sorry. But you know,
no,
a
I
lot
love
of,
it. Go ahead.
I've seen some of the women feel like because we were all off that we should be a little more lenient in our pricing as opposed to increasing the prices. Like, some of them feel like we should go down in price because
really?
We're all worse. Yeah,
now, hold it.
Price.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, you know, I haven't been working. So, you know, it's really. Yeah.
You mean they feel that you should boundaries. Actually be going down on your prices where you.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That whole hookup mentality, there it goes again. Friendship, deals, and boundaries. Like,
oh, my
yeah.
goodness. Well, that doesn't
yeah.
sound like it'll go over too well. That's going to hit like a thump on the floor. I can't imagine. Wow, that's interesting.
Yes. Like, why are you charging me this much? You weren't charging this before. Like, okay.
Oh, my. Well, you know, that's awful. I can only say that's awful because I look at it that, you know, we've had all these amazing folks on our show. And so I get a close-up, you know, view and great education and information. I remember where we had Nurse Leslie, who is the actual ED. She's the educational director for Barbicide right here on our broadcast. And she walked everybody through everything that they need to be doing. And this was at the height of the pandemic. And you guys, I have the podcast out there. It's on Spotify and across my podcast platforms. You can just Google Carrie Hines podcast and all that will come up. But with Nurse Leslie and so many others. But the thing that really shocked me is that, and not just with them, but all of the extra expenses that I found associated with reopening. And then if that's not enough, having much less clients and having to space people out, and even those businesses who relied on the walk-ins for a big percentage or a big bulk of their business, they had to look for other options. So to me, it's like if you want this salon or barbershop or whatever to be in your community, then this is a part of supporting them. And, you know, I'm blown away because I look at these folks who provide the hair care as almost as these first type of responders, in my opinion, because they're out there, many of them, yes, their shops were largely closed during the height, but in some states, they were allowed to remain open to service those who were working through the pandemic.
Right.
So I just, you know, to me and to see, it was very jarring initially for me to see the stylists and barbers. You have to understand, you know, to see everybody looking like they're going in to do surgery. That's how it looked to me. I'm sure I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And so I was just, you know, it's a different day. It's a different day.
It is.
You know, so I just want to officially salute you and all the professionals in the industry. We love you guys. We are true advocates for the industry. This is a platform that will promote the entire industry. We just don't hold the needle over to one type of hair or one type of this or one type of that. It's all inclusive. We welcome everybody to the broadcast for the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, speaking of welcoming to the broadcast, we're happy to have you with us. We really are. We're just excited. Yes. So, folks, we've been chatting.
I'm pumped up.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, Monica. Monica is with us, everybody. You're just bringing up just a ball of energy to all of this, and there's so many amazing topics. I'm just blown away that you are with us, and we've got you. We've got you right here. So, Monica, now, what about down the road? What would you like to see happen in the industry? What's your next move? We know you're coming to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're gonna just turn it out here. But what else would you like to see out there happen for Miss Monica?
For Miss Monica,
in the industry,
for the most part, like I said, my whole thing right now that's big to me and close to my heart is being able to help these women with hair loss. I want to be able to educate as many stylists and barbers as I can so that we can kind of get ahead of this. I want to be able to get a center open because, for the most part, you mentioned earlier, it's harder for us African-American women and men to find someone to service them with those particular issues. If you look around, it doesn't really, we're not marketed to, I'll put it that way. So it's harder to find us. So I want to make sure that I get it out there as much as I can. And I want to get as many stylists and barbers connected to maybe even do our own group in different cities to be able to address that particular issue.
Well, I can actually piggyback on what you've just said, and we love that here, Monica. The good news is that we've already started on that path and on that road right here on our show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a gentleman that we're going to make sure that you are turned and tuned into, Cade. He does a program called Mr. Trichology. And right now it's on Thursday mornings here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to invite you to participate with that and just really help to address the needs of this community. I think that you guys would be a great team. So we're going to definitely make the connection and introduction. And I just have to say, you're on the right path. You are on the right path, Ms. Monica. Now, let me just say this. Is there anybody that you would like to just shout out to this morning?
I would. I'd love to say, hey, Ma, my mother's in Byron, Mississippi, and, you know, she's one of my biggest supporters. Then my son, he's in Vegas. He's probably runner-up next to my mom. And then my brother, he's in Indiana. So we're all over the place. I just want to say, hey, you guys, and, you know, I love you, and there's my shout-out.
Well, I'm loving it. You guys, this has been a wonderful interview, and we're just so excited to have you on, to be included now in the lineup here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've been chatting with Monica out of the Dallas area this morning. Okay, Monica, I want to, again, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Carrie.
All right. Well, folks, I just want to say thank you so very much. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us. You Go Girl. You Go Girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Got a doctor! I'm coming! Stop!
Beginning of it for the moment.
No!
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. She actually is a hairstylist, and I should say a superstar celebrity hairstylist and author. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show's great honor to welcome Miss Kim Berry. Good morning, Kim. Good morning to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is truly a great special honor for us. Let's just start and jump right on in. We need to tell everybody what makes you a celebrity superstar stylist. One of your most notable clients, of course, the one and only Prince. Let's start there, Kim. First, tell us a little bit about yourself first. Now, you're based out where? Where are you based?
Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Oh, really? You were actually born in, I don't know anybody who was actually born in Los Angeles.
Yes, born and raised. My mother and father are from the country, North Carolina and Tennessee, so everybody thinks I'm from the country because I got their ways, but I'm born and raised in Cali.
Well, listen, we have a lot in common because same thing here. My parents are from North Carolina, and I lived out in Los Angeles, but you were actually born there, so that is amazing. I love that. So now tell everybody, you are a celebrity stylist. I call you a celebrity stylist. Sometimes folks, some of the hairstylists don't want to be known as a celebrity stylist. They don't want to be referred to that way. Does it bother you when someone says celebrity stylist?
No, I actually like it. I'm sorry. I was like, you worked in the industry long enough. You owe your dues. I appreciate the tag. I appreciate
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely fit the bill. So I want to, yes, well, absolutely. First of all, you have notably one of the most famous clients in the world. There is very, very few folks other than the late Prince who would be on par if there was such. So let's turn to that. Let's go back a little bit, Kim. Now, I also want to tell everybody, first of all, one of the reasons you've been out, you've talked a little bit, I saw some things online, you have authored a book that kind of chronicles a lot of this, I'm sure. Which I'm very proud about. And that book is called Diamonds and Curls with a Z. I love that on the end there.
Yeah.
Yes, and about your life working with Prince. So let's start at the beginning. I know you've been asked a lot of these questions I've seen, but I think it's a remarkable story, and I'm very excited to have you on board. So let's start at the beginning. How did this all come about? Are you what I did uncover, which I thought was a hilarious story. I did catch part of it, where the Prince's former stylist before you pretty much quit on the job, so to speak. Can you do you remember that story? Can you please tell our audience? I think it's hilarious how just the thought of it cracked. Yes, please share that story, Kim.
Yes, I had been actually dating Prince's bodyguard, and I just kept asking him, you know, get me a job.
Well, now,
you know,
that
so
wasn't Big Coco, was it?
Yes, it was Big Coco.
Okay.
And so
I've done my research.
Yes, I had been dating him for a while, and so finally he started taking me around to the camp, and I would hang around, you know, at the video shoots and photo shoots and things. So Prince is very astute and always watching the area, so he knows when there's someone new in the area. So he's always watching you. So I had been, like, I'd go whenever I go to the sets, I would always go to wherever the hairstylist and the makeup artist was. So finally I met Tanya, who was his stylist at the time, and so we just clicked, and, you know, you just meet genuine people and you become friends. And so she and I were hanging out, and she was just complaining one day, and she was like, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. I want to go home. I don't want to live out of a suitcase. And I was like, girl, you got the best job in the world. She's like, it's not what you think. And I said, Lord have mercy. I said, once I it's funny how you covet someone else's life, but you don't know what they go through in the course of a day. And so she was like, it's not what you think, Kim. And I said, I think you work for the biggest entertainer in the world. And she was like, Kim, it's not what you think. And sure enough, my mother used to tell us all the time, you know, be careful. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And she went into, we were on a video set. I forgot what set it was that he was shooting that day, but she went into the room with Prince, and he snatched a comb out of her hand. And she said, you know what? She said, my lips are chapped from kissing your little black ass. I'm out of here. And she literally, after the video set, she packed her stuff up and she left. And I said, when you call it a holy hookup, that I was standing there and got this introduction. I had been hanging out with her. I had formed a friendship. And so the people in the camp knew who I was, you know, and it was just interesting that what God has for you is for you, and not even the gates of hell going to keep you from it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And see, she quit, and I call it the holy hookup that I was standing there. They were going to Germany the next day, and so they left to go to Germany. He said, tell Tanya to get the salon ready, and all the team was like, no, Tanya quit. Because, you know, Prince is used to being Prince, so he talks crazy to you, and the next day, of course, he knows you're going to be there. No,
right.
This day, Tanya packed her stuff and left. And so he said, so what do you mean? I'm going to Germany without a hairstylist? And they were like, yeah, they didn't know what to tell him. And so he was baffled, so they had to hire somebody when they got there. He hated the person. He wound up doing his own hair for the show that night. And so they come back to Los Angeles, and Coco said, get your stuff ready. He said, meet me at this club in Beverly Hills. And he said, bring your portfolio. I got my portfolio. And one thing my parents used to always instill in me, you know, if you stay ready, like the rapper say, you ain't got to get ready.
That's
so
good.
I had been doing photo shoots. I had been stacking pictures. I had my book ready. Went to the club. They had already made preparations for me to get in. And God was just awesome. It was just a move of God. So we laid the book on the table. I approached him. He looked at me like, how did you get to my table? And I was like, my name is Kim Berry. I know you don't have a hairstylist. I said, and I'd love to, you know, do your hair. And so he looked at me. He opened the book. He said, so you do hair, you know, in his, you know, snide remark way. And I said, yeah. He said, you got a salon? I said, yeah. He said, go hook it up. And so I already knew. I had been watching her, following everything she was doing, and I noticed on her table she had this hairspray. I went and bought it. If she had this gel, I went and bought it. So I was duplicating her table, never thinking that I would ever get the opportunity to do Prince. But I said, if she's using it, I'm going to use it because she's a celebrity stylist. And so my dad used to tell me growing up, preparation, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, will you be prepared? And literally, the opportunity presented itself. I went to the salon. I blacked out the windows. I knew how to do that. I got the salon ready. And about an hour later, I get a phone call, and he said, Kim, this is Prince. And I said, oh, my God. And so he says, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, oh, okay, well, no problem. I said, next time, you know, you in Los Angeles, just know you got a hairstylist. He said, well, do you travel? Now, mind you, I'm 19, 20 years old. I ain't never left Inglewood, let alone California. And so I said, yes. And yes just popped out of my mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I just say? He said, okay, great. He said, we're sending a car to come pick you up. He said, meet us at the airport. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, is there a problem? I said, no. He said, I said, oh, my God, in my mind, I'm freaking out. And so I was like, meet him at the airport. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening? But that's just how Prince does. He get down. Everybody that you know that has worked for him has the same remarkable story. Like, it's on the spot. You're getting hired. And wow. So literally, I called my mother. I hung up the phone, and I called my mother. I was like, oh, my God, I just talked to Prince. She said, stop lying. I said, no. I just talked to Prince. I said, he said that they're sitting in the car. I said, I don't have no clothes. I don't have no. She said, you better get to that airport. She said, take your curling irons and your hairspray, and you get to that airport. And she said, I'm going to send you some money in the morning. You go to Target, buy you some clothes, and you keep on moving. I said, oh, my God. So I literally took the coat on my back and my curling irons and jumped in. They sent a limousine. I went to LAX. Him and his brother was on the plane. I walked past them, sat down on the plane, flight booked, everything.
When
first
you say
time
on
the
plane,
snow.
Was this a commercial plane?
No, commercial
or?
Airline, yes.
Okay.
So for most part, he did commercial. And I just couldn't believe it was happening. I was like, oh, my God, there's Prince. And went and got on, sat down on the plane, and first time I got off the plane, I saw snow. I was like, oh, my God, it's
That's
Christmas
like you're from
Eve.
California. That's
yes.
Right.
So seasons were was the first time I met seasons was traveling with Prince. And so saw snow. I got to the gates opened to Paisley Park, and I was like, oh, my God, it does exist. Wow. They walk me through the back door. I go upstairs to the hair salon in the back room. And it was just amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. This is happening. So his brother walks in. His brother said, okay, you're going to do me first. And I said, okay, great. So I'm trained for this. So my beauty school teacher would hand me 6 or 7 towels at a time, train me on speed, train me on ability. And he said, look, he said, quality and then quantity, never sacrificing one for the other. He said, your first head needs to look as good as your last head. So I said, okay, got it. I've already been trained. God had already been putting it in my path and getting me ready for the opportunity such as this. And I did his brother hair and 4 women that were there hanging out with them that night, and one behind the other, bam, knocking down heads. So his brother said, okay, well, he'll be in a few minutes. I said, okay, 1 hour goes by. 2 hours go by. I'm sitting there. I'm looking around. Now, I'm in Paisley Park. You can see the purple rain jacket in the corner, a raspberry beret outfit. There's jewelry laying around. I sat there with my hands in my lap, and I said, Mama used to say, if you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch nothing that don't
exactly.
belong to you. I sat right there for 2.5 hours with my hands in my lap. I said, okay, I don't know what's going on, but if they don't know that I know that it's a camera's watching me, I
exactly.
said, okay. So finally, his brother.
Well, you were very smart for 19, though. You're very
absolutely.
smart. That was very
absolutely.
Wild.
Absolutely, yeah. Mama didn't play that.
They taught
mama
you very trained well.
Absolutely. So I sat there, and his brother stuck his head in the door and said, you didn't steal nothing, did you? I said, excuse me, first of all. I said, Mom, I knew this was a test. I said, my mom ain't raised no fools. I said, second of all, quit playing with me. I got to go to the bathroom. He said, you could have went to the bathroom. So he's laughing at me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, I ain't moving through this man's house. This is his house. And so he said,
That's right.
And so I stayed right there. And so he said, okay, for real. So I got settled. And he said, okay, for real. He coming in a few minutes. I said, don't you leave me sitting here. Now, mind you, Paisley Park is a self-contained. They call it a creative battleship. And so inside Paisley Park, there's kitchens. So they can make their own food. There's studios. There's a hair salon. There's a dance studio, there's a disco, there's a performance area. That, like, this place is massive.
And when there are elevators inside there. We saw a little bit of it. There are elevators inside there.
It's a complete compound. It is
compound,
amazing.
Yeah.
Even now, when Oprah Winfrey came, Oprah Winfrey was like, I thought Harpo Studios was huge. She said, my studio will fit inside of here. She said, this is massive. So if you would impress Oprah Winfrey, you know you're doing something.
You got that right. And
yes,
I've only known one or two to do that. So you're right.
Absolutely, yes. And
wow.
So finally, Prince stuck his head in the door, and I was like, oh, my God, he's so little. Like, it didn't matter. Like, when you see Prince on stage, he's larger than life. He is this huge
right.
entity. But when you see him in person, he's a small stature man. He's
That's
very
right.
quiet. He's very humble. He's very meek. And he used to ask me all the time, you know, I got like 10 personalities. I was like, yeah, I met all of them. So it's a different Prince in every element of the – but he stuck his head in the door. He said – yeah, I love your work, he said, but you can't have those nails in my head. He said, I'm tender-headed. I said, okay, click, 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 click. I just started breaking off all 10 nails right there in front of it. He started laughing. He said, oh, my God. He said, you are so funny. He said, okay, yeah, you're going to work. He said, go back to the hotel. We're going to Miami in the morning. I said, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's too late. He said, well, I'll see you in Miami. I'll see you at the airport. I was like, oh, my God. So I'm packing up my stuff, and I'm just like, so did I just get hired? What just happened? I was like, oh, my God. So we get to Miami. We stay there for a few days. He says, him, order whatever you want. He said, just hang out. I'll let you know when I'm ready to get my hair done. I said, okay. But a few days later, he called me. He said, we're going to Chicago in the morning. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, don't worry about me. I'm good. I said, okay. So I called my mother. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm moving from city to city. My mom said, just keep going. Keep going. She had sent me some money. I went to Target before we got on the airplane. I bought me some clothes. I said, oh, my God. I was like, what is happening? I was asking my mother. I said, who lives like this? My mother said, you do. And that's when my reality shifted, and I was like, I'm a celebrity hairstylist. Like, I'm rolling with Prince. So Prince rolls with his bodyguard, his hairstylist, and sometimes that's just it, his bodyguard and his hairstylist. But we were going from city to city. They were partying. They were doing their thing. And every night he called me, Kim, you good? Okay, just get what you want. Just let, you know, I'll see you in the next city. Finally, we get to New York. And I had been with him like 2 weeks that by then. He still didn't get his hair done. He said, Kim, get the salon ready. I said, okay, here we go. So I get the salon. I find the salon. I got a private room. I set everything up. I got everything laid out exactly how he's used to seeing it. So and knowing that he's a creature of habit, I had studied Tanya's habits. Yes. And so I got ready. He walked in. We had a consultation. He said, okay, I want color. I want a perm. He said, you know, I need a cut. And he said, so, you know, let's do it. Now, before we get to him, his brothers tell me on the way to the salon, don't touch his ears. Don't look him in the face. Don't do this. Don't spill water on him. I said, wait a minute, Doc. Y'all making me nervous. I said, I do this for a living. Don't you mess me up. And he said, no. He said, and then what was funny was everything they told me don't do, I did. I said, but the Prince took it all in stride. And when I tell you that I hooked that hair up, I said, Kim, breathe. I said, you got this. Relax. He ain't no different than nobody else.
He's just a person.
I said,
exactly.
I said, you do this. I spilled water down his face while he was in the shampoo bowl. He said, okay, lady, wait a minute. It tastes like you're trying to drown me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I touched him up. Got it back together. We finished that hair. He looked in the mirror, did his little left-right look. He spun around on them heels. He was like, okay. He said, see you later. He said, your limo's waiting for you outside. And he spun around on them heels and disappeared into a puff of purple smoke. And I was like, I looked out the window. The limo driver was waving at me. He said, I was like, okay, Kim, yeah, you a celebrity hairstylist. I said, wow. And literally I've been rolling with him for 29 years after that. It was the most amazing journey I had ever experienced, you know. And I take nothing for granted. I thank God that he could have chose anyone else. And he did. There were other hairstylists that came in and out throughout my career. But Kim always got the call to come back.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I can speak to one thing only with regards to ever seeing Prince. I saw him one time live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ran into him in Los Angeles. I remember this. It was the early 90s, and myself and one of my colleagues and at the time, we were in the airline business, of course, and I remember flying out to Los Angeles. And we showed up at this club. It was all the rage back in the early 90s. It was on Sunset, called Roxbury.
Yeah,
and
yep.
And Prince was there. We were on a second floor, and they let us into Roxbury. Now, this Roxbury club, they had, when I tell you they had all these fancy cars pulling up.
Absolutely.
And I do mean fancy. It was right there off that little turn off Sunset. It was on Sunset, if I recall.
Yeah,
and I remember all these fancy cars. Now, my friend Richard and I, we showed up. Do you remember the station wagons that had the little panel on the side?
Yes,
you may not go back that far, Kim, but they had station wagons with the panel on the side. Now, we showed up at the Roxbury getting out of a station wagon with the panel on the side.
Right.
And
okay.
We go up to the door, and the gentleman says, you know, he looks at our ID. He sees we're from New York. He knows that we are definitely not the typical caliber that's coming into the club. Well, we didn't know this. I don't even remember how we ended up there, but we didn't know it at the time. So we go in, and we heard that Madonna's dancers were there, and they had all these people. We didn't hear that Prince was there, but they had all these other celebrities who were there. And we ended up on, they had a balcony on the second floor, and who do we see but Prince? We're seated on the second floor. Prince literally walks by with, we assumed, his bodyguard.
Yes.
It was he and one fellow. That was it. So it kind of fits in with everything that you said. And he just walks by us, but the bodyguard gives us a look like, don't approach him, don't ask. So we did.
Right.
And he walked by. He wasn't much taller than us sitting down as he walked by, and I'm not exaggerating. And that was the only time that we ever had any, that I've ever had any run-in, if you want to call it a run-in, but he walked right by me. So I never forgot that. Now, I have to say, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, Now, my very special guest with us today, her name is Kim Berry, and she is what I, by all accounts, to be a celebrity superstar hairstylist, and she is also an author, and her book, so super popular out there, called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z, and this is about her life story with none other than Prince, the superstar. So I have to say, Kim, let's pick up with that. Or even go back a little bit. Now, where did all of this come from? I know that you were in, you had gone to beauty school and all that, but what about before that? What inspired you out in the California and the L.A. area to get into hair care and all of that? What was that inspiration? And then we'll move to the book. Where did that come from?
What's really hilarious is I had no inclination, never thought about being a hairstylist.
Really?
I was going to school, I was going to be a doctor, and I was going to, you know, whatever, you know, life was going to take me. I had graduated early from high school, top 10% of my class.
Wow.
So I told Mom, I said, I did everything you told me to do. I said, I'm taking a year off. She said, a year off? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not going to college right away. I'm just going to chill out. I said, and you know, just find myself. I said, I didn't, you know, have no babies. I brought you a diploma. I did everything you told me to do. I said, now I'm just going to chill. She said, okay, great. So about 2 or 3 months into that, she said, what you getting ready to do? I said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? I said, I'm taking a year off. I'm just going to chill. And she said, no, ma'am. She said, ain't but one queen in this house. She said, so you going to get up? You going to get a job? You going to school? Or you going to get the hell out of my house? Oh. I said, wait a minute. I'm the baby. I done did everything. I did everything you told me to do. I said, I can't chill. I said, the boys is chilling. Why I can't chill? She said, Kim, did you hear what I said? So I got mad, went walking up the street down to Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A.,
yes.
And walked up into Pacific Beauty College. So I just walked in. I said, let me go see what they talking about in here. And walked in Pacific Beauty College, sat down at the table with Mr. Cedric Goins, the owner of the school. He told me everything about his beauty college and what it entailed. And I was like, well, forget it. I'm going to just do this for the meantime just to get her off my back. So before I knew it, Mr. Goins had me signing on the dotted line. He said, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I said, wait, tomorrow? School start tomorrow? He said, yes. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, make sure your lab coat is bright and white. Make sure your shoes is clean because I will lock you outside. I said, I'm sorry. What
wow.
did I just sign up for? So sure enough, got my things ready for school. I came home, brought the paperwork, showed it to my mother. I said, well, I hope you happy. I go to beauty school now. She said, I hope you happy. And went in her room to close the door. I said, oh, my God. I said, this lady here. I said, what did I do? So sure enough, went to beauty school. Every day there was a teacher there, Miss Cooper. She used to ask me every day, what are you doing here, Barry? I said, I'm here because my mother making me come here. She said, oh, really? She said, oh, well, you know by the end of these 12 months, I'm going to turn you into a hairstylist. I said, you're not going to turn me into nothing. I'm just here because I gotta be here so my mother stay off my back. She said, yeah, okay. So sure enough, about 6 months into the course, mind you, this is a 12-month course that I finished in 9 months because I was so mad. I did not miss a day. I went every day. I wanted to get this over with. I was mad. I joined in the middle of the summer. My friends are like, Kim, come on. We're going to the beach. We're going to Disneyland. I said, no, I got to go to school. I'm not playing with y'all. I'm going to knock this out. In the course of being in beauty school, I met a young sister named Pat who had been there for almost 4 years. I said, you know that's not real college, right? You know we supposed to get out of here and live here. So I knew that I wasn't going to prolong this no longer than I had to. So sure enough, 6 months into the course, they did a statewide competition. 200 kids came out from all over California. You had to bring a model. We didn't know that it was a head-to-toe competition. I just happened to tell one of my homegirls, can I use you as a model? She was like, yeah. So I said, okay, I knew she was an only child, spoiled rotten. I said, okay, bring your stuff. Her mother had bought her like 6 or 7 prom dresses. She came dressed to the nines. When I tell you, beautiful gown, gloves, diamonds, the whole nine. So, getting her ready for the hair show, I was like, do you mind if I cut your hair? She was like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I turned my sister's hair orange. I turned it pink. I said, oh, my God. I kept going back to Miss Cooper, like, can you help me? She said, no, go to your textbook. Now, mind you, she helping everybody in the school. I said, oh, my God. I was like, you helping this person? You helping that person? She said, go back to your textbook. I was like, what in the world? So I said, okay, finally figured out her hair color, got her color corrected, got her straight. We go to the competition. Like I said, my girl showed up, head to toe, beautiful gown, hair, butter was whipped. So we get to the competition. It's a two-day competition. Out of 200 kids, I placed top 10. So out of the top 10, the top 10 come back the next day. And she showed up again, bam, banging hair, bam, banging dress, outfit, outstanding. We get to the competition. Out of top 10, Kim Berry takes first place. When
get
they hand me
here.
The trophy, absolutely. When they hand me the trophy and the check, Miss Cooper walks over to me and she said, no help from her, mind you. She was watching from a distance, though. She said, didn't I tell you I was going to turn you into a hairstylist? I said, oh, my God. I said, so I didn't know I was getting Mr. Miyagi's wax on, wax on, wax on. I said, it was so intricate of how all of these people played a part in my journey to get me to the finish line. Like I said, Mr. Goins, the owner of the school, built my speed up. Ms. Cooper made sure that my technique was on point because everything was by the book. She took me out of class early one Easter and made me go on the floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I don't have no business on the floor. I just started in beauty school. She said, you got this, Kim. I'm doing this lady's hair. Did a pocket curl, burned this lady's hair. She walked up to me. She said, Kim, she said, did you burn this lady's hair? I said, absolutely not. She walked through this lady's head and found the exact spot. I had took the curl, put it in my pocket. They call it a pocket curl. Put the curl in my pocket. I was like, she said, now, the next time, she said, first of all, these people know that you're in beauty school. Now, the next time I ask you, did you make a mistake, just say, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to leave the floor. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to shrink up. She said, these people know that you're in beauty school, so it's okay. They're willing to take the risk because they know that, you know, you're learning. I was like, wow, who knew? I said, I was so embarrassed. She was like, now finish this lady's hair and let's keep on going. And so they gave the lady a little gift certificate to come back and get her hair done again and, you know, for free and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, my God. I said, didn't even know that all of this was building me up, building my character to get me ready for the real test that I was about to, you know, the journey that I was about to partake in. So everybody along your path, you have to know that it's some form of an angel, some form of a teacher. So it was just an incredible journey getting to this point because I never thought about doing hair, didn't want to be a hairstylist. Knocked that 12-month course out in 9 months when I graduated and still 30 years later went back to the beauty school. Mr. Goins said, I always talk about you. I tell all my students about Kim Berry, that Kim Berry is a celebrity hairstylist. Matter of fact, our school is one of the highest ones that has most of the celebrity hairstylists. Candida Farmer, Candida is a celebrity hairstylist. Everyone knows her in California. Pam Farmer, celebrity makeup artist. Kim Liu is another celebrity makeup artist who graduated from our school. So we produce some of the biggest.
Apparently.
Yes, makeup and hair artists that work in the industry to this date in California. Like, it was just amazing how they all led a part in my journey. And, it's just amazing. When I look back on it, I thank God. I don't take nothing for granted, and I bless God for every part of my journey.
Absolutely. I love everything that you have said. And I have to tell you, I got to go back to one part which just cracks me up. I can't wait to, just to remind everybody better. But it reminds me so much. I love your journey, and we have so much in common. But I think this is every black mama who says,
yeah.
You can't, because I swear to you, it's the same story. I had grown up thinking that I'm going to just lay in the house when I graduated high school and thinking I'm just going to sit around the house, you know, and I don't have to go to school now, so great.
Right.
Man, my mama, she told me you're going to get a job or go to school or get out,
right.
Literally
That's
in
right.
that order. And so
that's
when you,
right.
I said, oh, my God, you brought back memory. So I'm sure that's every black mama in
yes.
America. We don't play that stuff. We
no,
really
mama don't.
No,
don't play that.
Not
mama
at all.
Yes.
And especially from North Carolina. Anybody from North
right.
Carolina, ain't nobody playing that kind of thing. Now, let
that's
me
right.
tell you, Kim, I love this. I love the story. You are just amazing. If you're just tuning in, I better bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very, very special interview this morning with none other than I'm calling you the superstar celebrity hairstylist, Ms. Kim Berry. Again, we're welcoming you to the show. She's also the author of Diamonds and Curls, And that's Curls with a Z. So when you guys are out there Googling it or going on to Amazon or picking up the book, definitely you want to search it correctly. So tell us about this amazing book. Now, I've seen some of the things online. Tell us about Diamonds and Curls.
Yes, Diamonds and Curls is my memoirs, 29 years rolling with rock royalty. That's my book. Working for one of the most iconic stars in the world. Like, you know, I tell everybody this little girl from the hood did good, you know. It was just amazing of how basically our lives were so intertwined, he and I together. We literally grew up together. And because most marriages, like I said, I outdid both of his marriages. He was only married for 4 years apiece, and I outlived his lawyers, his doctors, his wives. You know, I was there when his mother died, when his father died, when his baby died. I was there for some of the most intricate highs and some of the worst lows of his life. And God chose me to walk alongside this man, you know. So I'm telling intimate stories of literally how I, you know, was there. Some of the stories were just, it was just he and I, like, you know, and how we laughed together, how we prayed together, how we bagged on each other's mamas together. Like, it was just the most incredible journey. So I'm not telling the stories about, you know, book sales and, you know, concerts and all that. There's enough of those books out there. I'm telling the more intimate side. Nothing scandalous, nothing salacious. Just literally our everyday life of how I walked alongside, you know, one of the most, like I said, biggest names of our time, that he literally created the soundtrack to our lives, you know. And I'm telling the intimate stories, the part that people would never get a glimpse of unless, you know, I pulled the curtain back. One of my hashtags is behind the purple curtain, and showing people what life was like on an everyday journey with this man.
Now, did I uncover somewhere that you were not necessarily a Prince fan at first, you know, before you started working with him in that way? You were aware of him and his music, but you weren't necessarily like the number one fan. So
nope.
How did that happen, or how did it come about, and did that change along the way?
Well, hanging around him, you have to become a fan. He teaches you what real music is.
Yes.
I had knew his popular things, Little Red Corvette, Kiss. I remember watching Kiss on a video, just watching it, and I was
you
just
knew
staring.
The 80s.
Friend. Yes. So yeah. I knew of him, but I, like I said, never thought that I would wind up working with him. I wasn't a fan, and so I think that's another reason what kept me around so long, because I wasn't so geeked out and tripping off of him when I got around him. It was a job for me to do. I showed up, like one of the fans said on my page yesterday, I would have just kissed him, you know, and I said, and you would have just been fired. So, you know what I mean? So I didn't fan out over him. I wasn't geeked out. I showed up every day. I did what I was supposed to do. I tell people all throughout the book that I served him as if he was God himself, you know, because everything that I do, my mother had already instilled in me, you do it with excellence, you know, and whether it be the trash man or the biggest man on the totem pole, you serve everybody with respect, and you do it with excellence. And so it was nothing for me to show up every day. Like, it was a blur. It went by in a blur, because it was just what I did every day. I served this man. I was with him sometimes 6 months out of the year, gone away from my family. I miss holidays. I miss, you know, big things. Even, you know, I was telling some people, my daughter's first steps, once my daughter was born, I missed my daughter's first steps being on the road with Prince. I came home off the road. My mother said, I have a surprise for you. And my daughter came walking across the floor. I was like, no, like I missed my daughter's first steps. You know, so you miss some big things in life at home. But, you know, family was able to enjoy some beautiful things. They were able to travel the world with me sometime, my mom and my daughter. And you know, but they had some beautiful Christmas and holidays because of Prince, you know. So,
sure.
I said, so it was awesome. The exchange was well worth it, you know, the exchange. So a lot of my friends were like, oh, if I were you, I wouldn't take, because Prince talked crazy to you and expect you to be there in the morning. I wouldn't take this off of him. And, you know, I wouldn't let him say that to me. I said, okay, let me see now. You at home on your mama's couch, and I'm in Switzerland in one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. So don't tell me what you won't take off somebody, because I said, you'll do what you got to do to get the job done. So those, all those stories will be. So right now, Volume 1 is out now, and I'm actually going to re-release Volume 1 April 22nd of next year. I'm looking forward to adding some new stories to the book, what I'm doing is 10-year chronicles at a time. So I'm doing Volume 2 and Volume 3. So the fans have looking forward. So they're already chomping at the bit and asking, when's the next book coming out? Because I ended every book on a cliffhanger. So each one will end. So, you know, back in the day when we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy Mysteries,
the
book will be like that. And so each book will end on a cliffhanger leading you to the next book. It's instead of doing, you know, this big, thick Bible-type book, it's like putting 30 years in one book. I didn't want to do that to the fans. I didn't want to bore them. So there's pictures in the book, behind-the-scenes pictures. There's, like I said, stories. There's also, they always ask me, like, well, what products did you use on Prince's hair? And what type of makeup did he use? And what type of soap? So I have what's called the Endorphin. What Prince had a song called the Endorphin Machine. And so in each part of the book, there's a small section, and there's cartoons that are drawn by Mr. Gary, and then there's another brother who's an artist. His name is, oh my God, just because I'm trying to tell you, oh, his name escapes me. Anyway, there's an artist who illustrated the book, and that I'm going to tell you his name in just a few minutes.
It'll come to you, but that will come
Moiselle.
Back to it.
Yeah, the brother's name is Moiselle. His name is Moiselle.
Oh, Moiselle, okay.
So, yes, he did these beautiful illustrations in the book. So the book is beautifully designed. And so we have the artist pictures by Moiselle. Then there's the cartoon characters that of my hairstyles all over the world. So Gary lent his expertise to the book as well. So both of those brothers, I appreciate them so much. In each part of the book, the Endorphin pages are different anecdotes of, you know, things that I've shared with Prince, different hair products that I've used on him. And speaking of hair products, before Prince passed away, we were coming up with a product line, which I'm definitely going to produce. I'm bringing it to manifestation. It'll be coming out real soon. So we have a hair product line that's inspired by Prince. The fans are going to love it. It's going to be beautiful. The packaging is amazing, and I can't wait to get it to the masses. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait because you're going to come right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show and tell everybody all about it. We're so happy for you. Well, listen,
thank you,
Kim,
so much.
I want to, absolutely. Well, I also want to find out, you know, some of the actual stylings and things like that. Now, did you go with him, like, during concerts and literally work at the concerts, or were you mainly just at the house on that before he left the house, or how did all that work?
Well, when I first started, it was the early, you know, I graduated after high school and then beauty school.
Wow.
I only did stuff when he came to L.A. But as things progressed, I literally became his everyday stylist. So I traveled like I was his right hand. Like Prince didn't go anywhere without his hairstylist and his bodyguard, like I said before. So I was everywhere with him, every concert. Like people ask me to this day, were you there at this party? I was at every after party. I was at every concert. I was at every. So for 29 years, if you could imagine, literally all over the world, wherever Prince was, Kim was somewhere in the background.
Wow. Now we're just trying to wrap our brain around that, because you're talking about being a young person and literally seeing the world. Now, what about some of the other celebrities? Did you was Prince your only client during that period, or did you also do some other hits?
No, thank God. Over the years, I was able to work on, when I would come back to Los Angeles, I had the opportunity. I was good friends with Cat Williams' manager. Cat Williams has been a client of mine for the last 10 years. I just did a movie with him called 2 Minutes of Fame. It was the most hilarious event of my life. There were so many comedians: Sinbad, George Wallace, Lunell, Red Grant,
wow,
Jay Farrow, you name it. They were on set. We laughed all week. It was the most hilarious thing that I have ever done. Meet the Blacks, you know, did hair with Kat. Every one of his comedy shows that you've seen in the last 10 years. That's all Kim Berry's hairstyles on Cat Williams. So DJ Quick is a client of mine. Wendy Raquel Robinson, Loretta Devine, Tamara Mari. God has just really been in the blessing business. I have been able to touch some of the most beautiful celebrities, and it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, and I'm looking forward to what God is you know, going to do next. So still working on photo shoots and videos to this day. So I'm still rolling in the industry. People are like, well, what are you going to do now? Like, I was just going to crawl in a hole and die. No, when I met Prince, I was doing hair. When I die, I'm going to be doing hair. So I'm still rolling. I'm like, I tell people, don't, you ain't seen the end of me yet. So don't count me out. God ain't finished with me yet. So I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. So like I said, I have the product line coming out, the hair extension line that's going to be coming out. I'm up to some big things. God is doing it, and I'm excited about what he's about to do.
Well, I see that you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we know that you're on to big things, and we love it. What I cannot wait to get into, and this is a great time to talk about this, we're excited. We're excited to have you, because we're going to be exploring having you to come back and give us a full series on this amazing life. And I want to say it's based on Diamonds and Curls, which is your amazing book. Again, Curls is spelled with a Z. So when you Google it out there, and Kim Berry is an amazing author out there with this telling and retelling of the stories of her life with Prince for 29 years. That's a long time. So, yes, you, and you talked about some of the different changes along the way, not so much changes, but some of the different experiences along the way that you had an opportunity to have a front row seat, literally, could have been a concert seat, but literally a front row seat to this man's extraordinary life. Was there any part of it that really kind of, that you were kind of surprised, you didn't expect Mr. Prince to be that way, you know? So some kind of, you might have gone and thinking he was one way, and then come to find out he was totally different, and maybe in a pleasant way. So anything you want to kind of share with us about any kind of thing like that?
Well, like I said, he was a practical joker.
Really?
He played jokes on people all the time. if you go back to the Morris Day times, they literally kidnapped some of the band members and came out on the stage and played for Morris. Like, if you read, I tell everybody, if you read everybody's stories, if you lined all our books up, you know, you'll find out who the man Prince really was. Because one thing about it, he was consistent. He had his, I call it, you know, asshole moments. He was mean to you. He had his moments where he was loving. He had his moments where he was hilarious. He had his moments where, you know, it was just an awesome experience all the way around.
He felt like he was an all-around person to me.
Absolutely. Most people, you know, they want to make it like, oh, he floated on a cloud and, you know, he pooted purple dust. No, he was a human being. He was a man. That's what I'm telling about in my book, is the humanity side of Prince, that he was a man, that he laughed, that he cried, that he desired certain things, that he longed for certain things, that he, you know, just like all of us, he put his pants on one leg at a time. And so people want to be like, oh, he's this mystic god. No, he was a human being. And he hurt, he laughed, he cried, he was human. And that's what I love about it. I'm trying to think of one moment the Dave Chappelle moment, when Dave Chappelle talked about the shirts and the blouses. That story was absolutely true. Now, mind you, we were all sitting in the kitchen in Paisley Park, and so they had just got through, you know, having a recording session in the studio, so the band members, everybody in there, that was our normal thing, everybody hanging out in the kitchen, laughing and talking and eating lunch. And so then on comes the Dave Chappelle show. And so they do the shirts and the blouses. Now, mind you, everybody in the room is cracking up laughing. And so they're laughing because Prince is the butt of the joke. And so this is a true story that really happened. Charlie Murphy and all the crew came and played basketball against Prince. Inside Paisley Park, there's a full basketball court. Most people don't know that Prince was a basketball superstar in high school.
Wow.
And literally would go out and ball you crazy in his six-inch heels. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Like the boy did not play. He could play some basketball. So anybody that came in Paisley Park was getting challenged to basketball, ping pong, whatever he could whoop you at, you was going to get challenged at it. And so he had a full ping pong table set up in Paisley. It was awesome all the time. And so the show came on, and I was just cracking up laughing, and he's looking at me like, "That's funny to you, Kim?" I said, "Oh, let me straighten up. No, sir, that's not funny." I said, "But come on now, you know that's funny." And we laughed at Prince so hard that day, but it was just so amazing because we all knew it was true, that it really did happen. And so so it was just awesome to just be around him, you know. And when he would laugh at you, if we was having a bag session and he'd be bagging on people's mamas, him and the guys in the band would be going back and forth. He would read jokes, like books on your mama jokes. So he would clown them. He was just hilarious. And so it was funny, especially if he bagged on you and it was funny, he was going to laugh from his gut, like he would scream. Like, it was just so funny. But when it was, he was the butt of the joke. You know, he'd look at you sideways. "That's funny to you, Kim?" I'm like, "Oh, no, sir, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you." He's like, "I'm not laughing, Kim." And I was just like, "Yeah, you know this funny." I said, so he was just a real dude. And it was just amazing just to be around him, you know. And I just love it. I just love that I had the opportunity to walk alongside that man. It was so amazing.
Kim, I have to take you to this part. What do you miss most about Prince?
I really got to say his laugh. That voice, everybody was like, you know, did he talk really deep? No, well, yeah, he did. But he had the whisper, you know, especially if somebody was around that he didn't know who was in the room, he would come up behind me and whisper in my ear, "Who's that to your left?" And who's that? I'd be like, "Okay, that's your lighting director. You don't know who that is." Like, it's so many people on tour, you don't know who it is. But, you know, I miss that laugh, the joy that he carried in his heart. Always joking around, just being a all-around funny dude, that laugh. I think more than anything, I'm going to miss that laugh. And the funny faces that he would make, the smirks and the side eyes and, you know, if somebody was in the room, oh, my God, like him and I would communicate literally by eyeballs. Like, "Do you see this fool? Like, do you see what's happening?" You know, and it would be so funny, like the little things that we created over the years, you know. Him and Maite had a sign language, you know, that they would speak in. And it was just all kind of stuff that, you know, he created over the years. Everybody in the camp had their own little thing with him, you know, that everybody can speak on. So that's what was just amazing. Like I said, if you line all the books up, you'll literally learn the different parts of Prince and how amazing he was.
Well, we are talking about Diamonds and Curls with a Z. By the amazing celebrity superstar stylist, Miss Kim Berry, the 29-year, you know, hairstylist relationship with Prince, superstar Prince. This has been something that, to me, I think it's kind of unparalleled. I don't think I know of too many folks out there who've been with the celebrity that long. Now, maybe there's some, but very few stories. So, what do your family members think now, and also your friends, and how did they react? Because sometimes friends can be a little jealous. Sometimes we're going to just put it on out there of the types of things that you were able to accomplish in your life. Did you ever experience that where some were a bit on the jealous side, or no?
Not really. All my friends were cool for the most part. Like
you
I
had
said,
real friends.
Yeah. You had some people, like I said, that would listen to my stories. I wasn't too many people I could talk to that was outside of the camp, so I kept it, you know, real close to the belt. But a few people that I did tell different stories of what I was going through or how I experienced life, you know, on the road and, you know, being with this man. You know, I had a few smart Alex, like I said, that would talk crazy and be like, "I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't let him him say that to me. I'm like, don't tell me what you wouldn't say or what you wouldn't take. I said, because like I said, you at home sitting on your mama's couch, and I'm literally sitting in, you know, we went in the ice hotel in Switzerland, and we traveled on camels across the sands in Egypt and walked through pyramids. And, you know, I had an amazing life with this guy. And so, you know, it wasn't much that you could share. Like, people didn't even know that it was even me until the camera showed up on my doorstep and interviewed me, you know, the night that Prince died and the day after Prince died and all these people. I was on 2020 and all these other, you know, fabulous television shows. And people are like, that was you all these years, you know, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me, you know. And so we collaborated on hairstyles, like we collaborated, you know, with his music. And you know, so it wasn't many people that I could talk to. I had to keep it close to the belt. And the few people that did know it was me, one of my girlfriends, Shanice Wells, she would tell me all the time, she said, you so humble, you so down to earth. Like, people didn't know, like, you would get off the plane coming from Milan, and then you'd be like, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a two-piece. Because I was never geeked up. I was never haughty or high on myself. I knew what I did. I knew who I served. I knew who I walked alongside. But like I said, most people didn't know that they, like, I would be in an elevator one day. It was Lala Anthony and, you know, a couple other, you know, high-end girls in the radio industry, and they were talking about, girl, Prince changed his hairstyles like I changed underwear, you know.
And they
I was
didn't
just
know
like, they
were
didn't
right
even
there.
Know that Prince celebrity, Prince stylist was standing right next to him, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I kept it to myself, and I just rolled along because Prince was a private person, you know, and up until the time of his death, you know, many people didn't know much about him, you know. So I said, there's a lot of people, there's people writing books and stories, telling stories about him that didn't even know him. They're talking about the Prince that they think they know. So who better to tell the story than the person that walked alongside him directly, you know. And I got death threats when I decided to write the book, and people told me, you don't have any business telling his story, you know, sit down somewhere and be quiet. Why does the little black girl have to sit down somewhere and be quiet? Why can't she tell her story? But there are people out in the industry that's selling books that's telling their story that didn't know anything about Prince, or they're telling the theoretical part of Prince. But I can tell you directly how he loved and how he spoke and how he thought and how he walked, you know. So why don't I get to tell my story? So finally I stopped living in fear and decided to be the woman and be the person that Prince literally built me up to be. And taught me how to be. Like I said, he and I grew up together and became different people because God placed us in each other's lives. So I tell people, they like, how did you think that you would been able to be there for so long? It was the God in me that saw the God in him, and he needed that around him. He needed somebody real that wasn't a yes man, that wasn't, you know, he used to call me, you know, his homegirl from the hood. So he used to ask me all the time, what was the pulse in the neighborhood? What were people thinking about his music? What did people think? So I literally had his ear. I literally was able to influence some of the things that Prince did in his music and throughout his career that people don't
know
about.
Prince, you
know,
would ask you, like, you were kind of like your, you know, the ear to the ground, or what did they call it? But you knew, you know, he would kind of let you kind of gauge what, or he would use you to gauge what the folks kind of might have thought of him. So
absolutely.
So he would bring music into the studio.
He would bring music into the studio, and he would play me some of the songs. And, you know, he knew if I stood kind of stoic and didn't move, he was like, you ain't feeling that. I was like, no. And so then he would play a certain song, and I'd be like, oh, okay, that's banging. Yeah, that's going to be a banger right there. So I remember one night we were in the hair salon, and we were doing his hair, and he said, Kim, I need your voice. And I said, what you mean? He was like, I said, I can't sing. He said, don't worry about it. I can make you sound any way I need you to sound. I was like, he said, I just need your voice. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So we go into the studio, and he told me what to say. And people don't know that I'm on one of the tracks, Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. And I was like, that song to this day is one of my favorite songs of Prince. Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. Get Freaky, Get Funky. I was like, "That's," and I'm on that track, and people don't even know. And it is so amazing. Like,
we're going to play that. We got to get that song.
Absolutely. I love it. One of my other favorite songs of his is Face Down. When he brought the beat in the studio, he was like, Kim, what you think about this beat? And I was like, oh, my God, just dope. And he came in there one night. He was like, Kim, this is what we got to do. Go buy me some church hats. Go get me some boas. Go get this. So we got some of the wildest outfits. Me and his wardrobe person ran out to this costume store, brought back all this crazy stuff. So you'll see them in church hats. And so I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. So I worked doing whatever needed to be done in wardrobe. And if it was trash on the floor, he'd be like, Kim, pick it up. You know, come on now, you my girl. Just, let's have my back. So there was no, I served as a bodyguard sometimes. I served as you know, his personal go-to girl. So it was just amazing, you know, like people wound up after he passed, like how did I wind up with so many of his things? Because I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. I held the makeup. I held the clothing. I had his shoes. I had his socks. I had his handkerchiefs. So I had to be prepared for whatever he needed. I was the all-around go-to girl. I wasn't just his hairstylist. We left hairstylist-client relationship long time ago, way before. Yeah, and it's like I said, most people aren't with their lawyers and the doctors for more than 20-plus years, and I outlived everything that went through Prince's life, his relationships, his lawyers, his doctors, his everything. I saw him grow into the man that he became, and it was just a beautiful journey, and that's what you'll see throughout the book, Diamonds and Curls. I tell people Prince was the diamond and I was the curls of the book. And so my book is based on the different facets of a diamond, the cut, color, clarity, and the, you know, the characteristics of a diamond. So all those different chapters, the book is broke down into those chapters, and my stories fall in between all of those, the cut of a man, the color of a man, the clarity, and what made him up to be that person. And so that's how my book is based on the diamond, and just showing how, you know, Farrakhan gave a quote just saying how beautiful the colors that he gave off throughout his lifestyle and of the diamond. And so that's why I brought that into my book. And so I'm just excited about, like I said, to share my story of who
We're
this man
it.
Was and, yeah. And bring it to the nations of the humanity of
Absolutely.
Who he was. Not the celebrity. I'm talking about the man, Prince.
The real Prince. Now,
right.
I love what you just said also, that there were items and things that you kind of have. Is there one piece that you have that you can just tell us about, you know, just one piece?
Well,
that
I
you have, still
have one
that
of the,
meant some,
the gold iconic,
things.
Yes, the gold iconic outfit that he wore on stage. Whatever Prince had, he had many copies of, because we would leave stuff behind in arenas. We would leave, so we always had to have many of the different outfits. But I have one up right now to this day that I know that I'll probably wind up keeping, is one of the gold outfits that traveled all over the world with him. And so when I go on my book tour, you know, coming up, that will be displayed every time I show up. So when you see Kim Berry, you'll see the gold iconic outfit that Prince wore on stage night after night.
Now, I wish
traveled,
I could fit into it, because
yeah,
I would certainly try.
He was a tiny
but I'd
man.
Pop it open
oh
all over the place, yeah.
Right. He was a tiny man, and people don't realize
yeah.
until they see his shoes or they see his clothes of how tiny he really was. He was a very small in stature man, but he was bigger than life, you know.
He towered
in real
life.
Yeah, I said the prince that sat in my hair salon chair was not the prince that you saw on stage. And the prince that you saw, he was humble, he was kind, he was quiet, but then he was loud and he was rambunctious, and you know, so he had so many different facets to him. That's why the diamond fits him perfectly, you know, when I mm-hmm. characterize him, that he was, it was so much to him, but he was this beautiful star that God created. He used to tell me all the time that he was downloaded by God to bring music to the world, and that he knew that this gift was given to him, and I tell people that when he died, that when he got to the gates of heaven, that he'll be able to say, God, I left everything you gave me on the stage, you know, because he gave it to them night after night. And it was so beautiful to be able to see live music and see him perform. And like, he would go out for his encores. He would do 5 and 6 encores after a 2 and 3 hour show, and give 10 people, whoever stayed behind, that them 10 people, he would give them a show like it was an arena filled with 70,000 people. Like, he was so dope like that. But it was the music, and whatever energy you gave him, he was going to give that energy back. And it was so amazing to be a part of that and see him rock so many. You know, I would stand on outside of the stage and just see him wave his hand and be like, put your hands up, you know. And one man could rock so many. It was just amazing night after night to be a part of that journey and meet so many different celebrities, Sheila E. and Patti LaBelle and Candy Dolfer and, you know, Chance Howard. And, I mean, man, it was just so amazing. Mike Phillips, to see all these stars, he picked them out, handpicked each one of these celebrities, and they became Maceo Parker, Najee, just amazing. And I was able to hang around all these celebrities and be a part of their lives night after night. And it was just amazing, like I said, that God chose me to be around all of these people. And it was just amazing that the family, you know, lifestyle that we built with these people year after year, different celebrities and different people that he built and created, and, you know, Carmen Electra, you know, that I was able to, you know, actually come in contact with and be a part of. All people like, did you do the women in his lives hair? Absolutely. Anybody that was hanging around Prince, Kim touched them. You know, Andy Allo, you know, that all these people are now celebrities in their own right.
That's right. Wow.
It was just amazing to be a part of their lives, and you know, now I can tell the stories. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was part of that, you know, and it was just amazing night after night, like I said, just to be a part of that.
Well, let me just say this, Kim. We are looking forward to all of the installments of this book, Diamonds
yes.
and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z.
Yes.
Your story is by Kim Berry. So you definitely want to check it out. Now, what are some of the best ways they can find this book? And, of course, we're gonna kind of get it right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely.
But tell us some of the other ways they can get the book today.
Thank you. Yes, you can go to my website. It's www.diamonds, D-I-A-M-O-N-D-S, and the letter N, C-U-R-L-Z. So Diamonds in Curls is the website. So you can go to my website, and it'll take you straight to Amazon. You can get the book there. And if you hit me on there and send me an email, I can set it up where we can do a special signing. I can, you know, personally autograph the book for them. And then also, like I said, coming up, I'll be doing a book tour, so you can stay tuned on the sign up on the website, and I'll be coming to a city near you, so you guys look forward to that.
Well, we're
going
to bring you out to my expo. We have a huge
Absolutely.
Expo in May. It's the world's first 8-day expo, period. And it's
awesome.
My very own, called HairNationExpo.biz. And we want you to come out here. So we're going to contact your folks and get
Absolutely.
You scheduled to come out here and do a huge, huge book signing and meet all the fans that you're making today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely. I would love that.
The
and then also,
Kim
I'm on
Berry.
Instagram. Kim Berry on set, K-I-M Berry, B-E-R-R-Y on set, Kim Berry on set. So you can find that across all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Kim Berry on set, or hit up Diamonds and Curls. If you Google me, you'll find Kim Berry. So just look for me. And I, like I said, I'm excited to, you know, continue sharing my stories with the world. And I'm just looking forward to what God has for me next. The product line is coming out. The hair extension line is coming. So I'm excited, and I cannot wait to, you know, see the fans again. I hate that, you know, the world is in this episode, you know, right now, but I'm looking forward to seeing the world, and I'm looking forward to being back with people. I miss people. I love people. So I'm looking forward to being, you know, seeing people again.
Well, listen, we've got you now on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and so you're going to be indoctrinated as a part of the Hair Radio Morning Show family. So
awesome.
We are excited. We're going to keep everybody informed about all of your comings and goings in the business. So we're just so grateful to have you this morning on our broadcast. Anything you want to leave us with today? Any last thoughts?
I just want to say don't take anything for granted. Live your life to the fullest. Don't be afraid to step out on faith. You know, like I said, I just, you know, happened to be in the right place at the right time. God said that your gifts will make room for you. I perfected my craft doing hair in beauty school, not knowing that one day I would meet, and my first time out the gate, one of the biggest artists in the world, you know, Prince, would be my client for 20-plus years, and it was just amazing. So I just tell people, you know, perfect your craft, do what it is, hang around people that are doing what it is that you want to do. Be the best at what you do, whatever it is, whether it be hair or makeup or, get yourself ready, get your website, create your, digital footprint, get your website ready, get everything prepared to get you ready for the time that you never know when God is going to explode you. If you want to be a celebrity stylist, hang around other celebrity stylists. Make yourself an assistant. Be there. Be present in the moment and be in the where you need to be. Hang around and rub elbows with people of what you want to do. And just be a part. Show up, whatever it is you got to do in life. Show up, be a part of it. Love God. Keep your prayer life active. And like I said, people can reach me at the website www.diamondsandcurls.com. Kim Berry on set on all the platforms. And I'm just loving life, and I'm just glad to be a part of what God is, going to do through me, for me, around me, and I'm just appreciative of you having me on the show. I thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to big things.
Absolutely, and remember, today's guest, Kim Berry, you guys can also, in addition to those amazing places, our platform, which is the Salon TV Network, we have a wonderful app, which is available in Google Play Store exclusively. And they can go right on and on the app, download it. It's free, and literally connect with our guests. And so it's all right there. So we're so excited, and that'll also put you in touch with the amazing Kim Berry. But in the meanwhile, we want you folks to get this book called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with the Z. Again, it's about her amazing Kim Berry story, I call it, in her life with Prince, the amazing superstar. We're going to have you back soon to break it all down. We're going to do a whole series on this amazing book. This was just a little introduction today on our broadcast. I just want to say thank you. You are just a joy. And so while it might seem that you were just doing so many amazing things and helping out a superstar client, it seems to me to have been kind of the other way around. I see how folks can gravitate towards you. You have something very special that you share with us today. And that's very, very clear. So thank you, Kim. Thank you for being with us, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right, folks, we've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. So stay with us.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, my target audience is going to be 50-plus. I am a woman of 50-plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50-plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50-plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me, and I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50-plus, and all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives, and I think that that is going to open the door for women 50-plus to know that there's so much more to us.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on...
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. Listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now my very special guest
is from the world of theater. Her name is Doris Garrett. Good morning, Doris, and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, the folks out there certainly know the amazing production that you are connected with. It's called Beauty Shop. And I have to start here. Your husband, the amazing playwright and just pure genius in my book and the book of the world out here to the public, Mr. Shelley Garrett, the late Shelley Garrett, I just have to say, just on behalf of everybody at the Hair Radio Morning Show, he was a friend and, a special guest here on our program. And just an awesome gentleman, and I just wanted to express that to you, that sentiment, and speak to you a little bit about celebrating the life of this amazing gentleman and the amazing legacy that you are continuing here. So welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you, and thank you for the kind words concerning my husband.
Absolutely. Now, I have to say, Mrs. Doris Garrett, you have to tell us, can you talk a little bit about the amazing play, about Beauty Shop and some of the amazing memories that you guys have associated with it?
Shelley is the writer, director, and he was producer before
yes.
I came on and took over that position. It's been touring the United States for over 33 years. He started in 33 years ago, but he was doing a tour for 30 years.
Right, right. So that is amazing. And I have to tell you, I've got to tell all of our listeners, in full disclosure, I had an opportunity, of course, to come out and see the wonderful touring of the 30th anniversary that you guys, when you toured through my neck of the woods here in Brooklyn, New York. So I just have to, I've got to go back because I wanted to find out. I know that you've long had a big interest in theater. This is not something that just kind of started. So what sparks your interest about the theater? What is it that is so exciting to you?
Well, I do have a BA in theater. I graduated from Albany State University.
Yes.
And I've always been interested in acting. I actually wanted to have acting as a background because I was trying to get into modeling. But that bug stuck with me, so
okay.
I turned to theater more so than modeling. And it was just a blessing that after retiring at age 40, because I was working with an engineering company, and I decided to go back into my major, which was speech and theater. And then that's when I met Shelley. So it was just like, it was like meant to be.
Yes. And I have to say, it has long been one of my favorite memories meeting the two of you guys. I cannot say and stress it enough. So I'm not going to, because I will fan out, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold it together for you guys. So I do want to talk a little bit more about this celebration, if you will, of the anniversary of the play. And also, what's happening, of course, right now, everything is on pause at the moment. So you guys out there listening right now, whenever you do hear this, so just at this current time, nobody's able to do pretty much anything right now. But what are some of the plans going forward, Doris? What are you looking to do in the way of Shelley's legacy?
Well, Shelley, again, always toured in the United States,
mm-hmm.
so I wanted to take it out of the country. I think that Shelley didn't fly, so he was.
Oh, is that right? He didn't like to fly?
No, he stopped flying in 1980.
Oh, wow,
he said that the flight was smooth, there was no problems, but he just had a feeling, he made a promise to God that if he landed safely, he wouldn't have to ask him that ever again. So in 1980, he stopped flying. So even though we lived in Atlanta, whenever we had to go to California or wherever, we always drove. Now, we would always fly the cast, but Shelley and I drove.
Wow. But that also makes that made for a lot of fun times on the road and good memories.
It did. It really did. I'm constantly telling my friends and family members that they're missing out on a lot when they're just flying from different locations
exactly.
because of the scenery and stopping and shopping and just enjoying
exactly
you know, different
That's
places.
Part of,
yeah.
That was a big part of the fun. you
mm-hmm.
know.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
See, and I'll tell you, now some of the folks, you know, in terms of talking about Beauty Shop, the play, and the huge amount of, you know, all of the wonderful things, I remember in talking with Shelley back in 2016 here on our broadcast, he was sharing with us about some of the amazing folks who came through the doors. He ushered
mm-hmm.
in a lot of little-known talent at that time, and they were joining his cast, you know, being part of the cast and getting their first taste of exposure. So when you talk to some of these folks, you know, what comes to mind?
Well, I know that he started, you asked me the question as far as what careers he started.
Well, I mean, you know, he started some of these amazing folks like the gentleman who passed away from Tommy Ford from Martin and quite a few others from Steve Harvey's show. I know he's helped to usher in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, in addition to a whole bunch of others, so when you hear, like, you know, some of these folks you may still keep in touch with, does it give you a good feeling to know that he helped to launch these careers in a big way?
It does, because first of all, Shelley always wanted to give back, and when not only did he launch their careers, but he was also constantly looking for new talent to
mm-hmm.
to also launch their careers as well. The most recent person, I should say, was Miss Juicy from the Ricky Smalley Show.
Yes.
Well, actually, she was in Shelley's play before she actually was on Ricky Smalley Show, and then now she's with Little Women of Atlanta. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's not in addition to a long line of others, and
oh,
I do
yeah.
mean a long line. Okay,
yes.
let me just say that out there. So he had an incredible eye
mm-hmm.
for talent.
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm very excited, Ms. Doris Garrett, to have you on the show. And I'll tell you, no, I really remember this so well. You were so kind and gracious. You guys
oh,
really
thank
were.
You.
I mean, it's, you know, I really can't say any more than that. So I just want to tell you that from all of us, we are celebrating, you know, the amazing contribution of black hair to the landscape. And we certainly could not do it without paying tribute to the one and only Mr. Shelley Garrett. So
and
I
appreciate that. Thank you so much. We're still going to be, again, I promised Shelley to keep his legacy going. So my daughters and I are going to do just that. We are looking forward to 2021.
And I'm hoping you'll come out to our Hair Nation Expo and some of our wonderful things that we have to do just that.
Well,
and,
I'll look forward to it. That would be
yeah.
great.
And you have a home here. And, you know, we're going to do some things, and we're going to, you know, I certainly will let you know because we have some wonderful ideas in mind to definitely to preserve that legacy, and we're going to do that here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Doris, is there any lasting thoughts you want to leave us with today, anything that you want to share?
Well, Shelley always, you know, when he was talking to people and trying to encourage them to, you know, to go on with their dreams, he always used to say, believe in yourself. And also, why not you? You know, there are a lot of celebrities and people doing their own business or have already made it and they're successful. So he always asked the question, why not you? So don't let anybody else tell you that you can't do it because you can. You just have to believe in yourself.
Wow. On that note, I want to thank you, Doris Garrett, of the Beauty Shop Plays. Thank you so much for being with us. The executive producer of The Beauty Shop Plays. You guys are going to have to stay in touch with us here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we'll continue, of course, to put you in touch with the amazing Doris Garrett and her folks. Doris, thanks again for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate you.
You got it. All right, folks. Keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It's Tuesday morning, October 5th of 2021. It's our broadcast number 618. And it's my honor right now to bring to the line, for the very first time in a while, being on this particular show, it is the one and only Dr. Yolanda Raglan, who is the CEO and proprietor of FixYourFeet.com. Dr. Raglan, good morning and welcome back to the show. Welcome. It's been a while.
Grand rising to you and all your listeners.
Yes, I thought I was surprised.
I do miss being on here.
Yes.
You know, this is a wonderful platform and program. As I hear your the guest that was on before,
yes,
I hear
yes.
all the shout out. I mean, yes. you truly, truly are putting out good media. So I love what you're doing, and that's why I definitely support your programming. And I am a proud supporter and sponsor of the Hair Radio Show. I feel like I will continue to be that person because of the great information that you put out there
Thank you.
The wonderful guests that you bring onto the show.
Well, I want to say this. We just adore you. You're much more than what we consider to be a legacy sponsor, which is a big thing all by itself. But just we treat, you know, you're like family here at the show. You really are. It's almost like it's kind of crazy when I hear the Hair Radio Morning Show
it's not long after that we're listening to fixyourfeet.com. you literally start every single broadcast, and as you heard, we're up to like 600, almost 620 shows of doing this three-hour broadcast each morning. So I have to tell you, Dr. Yolanda Ragland, and we don't have a lot of time with you this morning, so we're hoping you come back real soon, too, because we're going to get into a few things I want to talk to you about. It's, like I said, it's been a while since we've had Fix Your Feet on live with us. And there is one gentleman who is standing by. I'm going to see if I can get him on the line. I believe that is Michael out there in the Virginia area. And what he is, he does a show here on Tuesdays following, like today, he'll be on about 8:30. And it just cracks me up because, yes, we always run your wonderful commercial. And so Michael has been very, very supportive of what you're doing. And we just wanted to say, I'm going to see if I can get him on real quick, and then we're going to jump on in today with some wonderful things that we want to talk about, winter foot care and so much more. Michael, are you there this morning?
Yes, Carrie. Good morning, good morning. And Dr. Radcliffe, a special good morning.
Yes, Dr. Radcliffe. Yes, I know you wanted to say something.
Thank you.
Yes,
Michael, what would you like
to
say to Dr. Ragland?
Oh, it's a pleasure to finally talk to you because I have, as a veteran, I'm a 100% disabled veteran, and guess what I have? I have
weight
problems, so I relate to everything you're saying. From the first time I heard you, I said, oh, my gosh, this lady is talking to me. She really is.
Wow.
And also, you're like me. You're from Maryland.
It's Maryland.
And I've been dying. I'm sorry I got your name wrong, but that's that legacy of being a veteran and having other issues. But I've been dying to ask you this one question. I'll make it real quick. Where are you from in Maryland?
Okay, so actually I was born in D.C., Georgetown, D.C., but I grew up primarily in Montgomery County, Maryland. So when we escaped to the suburbs from D.C. around 4 years old, we moved to Wheaton, Maryland. So I lived in Wheaton for a good 9 years. And then around my high school days, I moved way out into the farmlands of Montgomery County, Maryland, out in Gaithersburg. And literally, it was really farmland at that time. My high school was surrounded by a cornfield. I was traumatized, to tell you the truth.
Trust me, I understand. I actually moved down to PG County from Philadelphia when I got out of the military. So you know that was a cultural shock. And actually, I have family up in. My daughter actually lives up in Germantown. And, yes, I understand what you're saying about the farmland. I am a city boy. It wasn't in the can, and we didn't go to the market. It obviously did not exist.
Well, Michael, we're going to have you to come back on one of these days, and we're going to have you to sit down so Dr. Ragland can talk to you about, because I know you've got some foot issues, and we're going to get into that in just a moment as well. And and we want to remind folks, you're coming up at about 8:30, Michael, with your Vet Talk information, so we're going to have folks to stay tuned. I have to just say thank you. I know you wanted to get on and give a shout-out to Dr. Ragland this morning, Michael, and I thank you so much for getting up to do that.
Oh, you are quite welcome, and it's a pleasure to finally talk to you, my sister. I mean, it's just a
pleasure. Thank you so much for getting up a little bit earlier to speak to me.
Yes.
I truly appreciate it. I do.
Not a problem, Don. I'm a soldier, so I'm used to getting up early in the morning. That's part of the legacy of being a veteran.
Michael, we're going to have you to stay tuned, of course, and get ready because you'll be on coming up next, okay, at about 8:30 this morning Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. Mike will be joining us again right here on the show. All right, Dr. Ragland, you see the impression you've made on folks without probably even knowing it so much. So really nice stuff.
I'm really done.
Yeah, this is really cool. Now, for you guys out there, let me just kind of backtrack a little bit. Dr. Yolanda Ragland has been with us many, many times. Many of you guys know her. She is a podiatrist, a foot surgeon. She is an entrepreneur out there as well. You speak so much on behalf of those, particularly women, for everybody who's trying to get a business off the ground. You've had to face a lot of difficulties, as you've shared with us over this time and over time here on the broadcast. And just been through a lot, and you have made it. And I feel that, and like others, if you've made it, we can do it. And I think that's what's so inspiring. So we are here with you this morning. Now, I want to jump in because you know what, Dr. Ragland? It is getting cold. You know, we're live this morning. It's October now here in New York City. And for our listeners in the Northeast particularly, like I said, it's getting a little chilly outside, and they're concerned about winter foot care, about, you know, should they start preparing now in the fall? What can you tell us about this upcoming season and how to take care of our feet?
Okay, so this is something, I'm so glad you're asking me this, because this is something that is kind of like a secret, I think, or something that people really just, what I have found out, I found out very early on in my career, was that what I found was that as it started getting cooler, that there was an uptick or an increase and I saw it a lot in women, but it's also in men as well. It's for both. But definitely in women, in getting more ingrown nails, they get more ingrown nails in as it gets colder, and we definitely see an uptick in men and women, for sure, in nail fungal infection. Now, here's the reason I figured it out. I started with the women that were getting. I started saying, I'm like, why am I seeing so many ingrown nails in the wintertime? I'm like, young lady after young lady after young lady. I started saying it. So I started asking these questions. And so I started saying, well, do you get pedicures? And they say, yes. I'm like, well, do you get pedicures in the wintertime? And they started saying, well, no, I don't get as many pedicures in the wintertime. And that's completely normal. I mean, why? It's just like we probably don't shave our legs as often as we do in the summertime as we would in the wintertime because they're covered. It's just it's one of those things. It's like it's one less thing to do. So you kind of like don't do it as much. So
and
I
probably
think,
save a few dollars in the process.
And you're saving a few dollars. Yeah, razors are expensive, and so are pedicures. They're not cheap.
Right.
So
right.
What's happening is that when you're not going in and you're not doing that routine care, and I'm not saying that you have to go in and get a pedicure, you have to keep up the routine care, because if when you're going to get those pedicures, what those ladies are doing when you see them with those files and those pushies, nail pushies, that's what they're called, they're going under the nail. They're taking out that dead skin, that dead cuticle, the debris underneath the nail. And so now the nail is free from getting impinged between the skin. But when you're not doing that, it's building up and collecting. And so that's why you're getting, that's why we're seeing the increase of ingrown nails. Now, the second thing that we see is the increase of fungal nails. And that's because you're not really wearing sandals anymore. You're wearing socks and shoes. And so if you are susceptible to getting fungal infections, because there are two types of people. There are people that get fungal infections and people that don't.
And you don't.
Okay?
Right.
Yes. And I'll get it. That's a whole other story, but we don't have a lot of time here. So there are two people that get it. So once you know that you've gotten a fungal infection in your foot, if you've had athlete's foot before, you're one of the susceptible ones. If you've never gotten one, you probably won't get one. And if you do get one, it'll be later off in life when you get older, when your immune system gets lowered, okay? So what happens is that in the wintertime, you start wearing socks. So your foot, and And so the fungus thrives in moist environments. That's how they germinate. They can't germinate in the light and dryness. So when you're wearing sandals, your feet are dry. They're able to breathe, like we like to say in our community. Our feet are breathing.
Right.
They're not. So they're not. It's not. And they're not in this moist, dark environment. But once you start keeping them in this moist, dark environment, the spores, which are basically like the seeds of the fungus, are able to germinate or procreate or grow. And they're able to thrive in that environment. So this segues into, so like you said, I am the entrepreneur. And
yes.
I am now, I started my new line, my new fungal, I started my new product line, Fix Your Feet products. And my first product is Fix Your Fungal Nail, which is unlike any other fungal nail solution out on the market. All the other fungal nail products that are out there, whether it's prescription or over-the-counter, those medications are not made specifically for the nails. They are actually for the skin. And the pores on the skin, yes, I'm telling you, the pores on the skin are much larger than the pores on your nails. My product is specifically made for the pores of the nail and has a vehicle that can transport the medication through those teeny tiny pores of your nail. So the efficacy or how well it works is superior and second to none than any find on the open market. Okay? So I have Fix Your Fungal Nail. And I hope that, I don't know if you've got the ad for that, but we'll send it over. We'll send over the jingle.
Yes,
so that'll be something that you can hear. And it's called Fix Your Fungal Nail. And it's a 3-month supply when you buy one. And let me tell you something. I, too, suffer with fungal nails. And when I came across this formula, I'm like, why aren't we using this? Why isn't this on the open market? Why is this kind of like some sort of compound formula that, you know, only compound pharmacists are using or, you know, doctors are only using in their office? Why, you know, why can't everybody, you know, get their hands
exactly
on it?
Exactly, have access. Right.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to make this readily available to everybody. You're not going to have to go into a doctor's office to get it, or you're not going to have to ask a doctor to ask the pharmacist to make a special solution for you. You're going to be able to get this out on the open market. And it's going to be from me, Dr. Yolanda Ragland, an expert not only in podiatry of the foot, but remember, I have 5 years of research from the National Institutes of Health in dermatology.
That's right.
You're getting a twofold expert here.
How has it been received, Dr. Ragland?
Every person that has purchased this come back for more because they're like, I don't want my fungal nails to come back. That stuff is a miracle worker. They see that their nails look clear. They're beautiful, and that's what they want. They want these clear, beautiful nails because here's the thing. So people are probably thinking right now, if it works so well, why do they keep have to buy more? Well, here's the thing. Nobody tells you the truth. And the reason why my patients come back to me and the reason why patients come to me is because I'm completely transparent. I don't mix words. I tell you exactly the way that it is, okay? I don't like using the word, you know, cure because fungus is really easy to contract if you're susceptible to getting it, and it's terribly difficult to eradicate because of how it survives through its spore formation. The only way to really eradicate a spore, like if it's in your house, is through super high temperature and pressure. So you have to use like this, like a pressure cooking high heat oven called an autoclave to sterilize the instrument from a spore.
Wow.
So you can't even get rid of it in your house. So it's
wow.
like people say, oh, just get rid of all my shoes and all my socks. No, don't spill on your carpet. It's still on your floor. You're not going to get rid of all of it. You need to use something like this product. So you do have to continue. After you get rid of it, you might not have to use it every day, but maybe like once a week you need to keep some on because you just never know where a fungal spore is. And you want to make sure that you're protected from getting the fungal spore back on you. And if it does get on you, you have something on there that's going to proactively repel it out the gate. So it does not, so it's unable to germinate or grow again.
Well, Dr. Ragland, I have to tell you, let me just kind of catch everybody up. Folks, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. With me on the line is one of what we call one of our legacy sponsors and advertisers, but also friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show. She's the one and only Dr. Yolanda Ragland. You guys know fixyourfeet.com as well as you know the Hair Radio Morning Show. Let me just put that on out there. Now, Dr. Ragland, I have to say this also. In addition to we're saying the winter foot care and all of that wonderful good stuff, we have heard a lot about the hairstylists who are standing on their feet. I think even Michael Hopkins, when we kind of at the top of this segment, talked about some foot problems and all of that. What can you tell folks who they have to stand on their feet? You know, they've got to, like the folks behind the chair, they've got to, you know, do hair. They can't really sit down so much. It's not conducive for that. Are there things that you can do to kind of alleviate the stress of standing on your feet all the time? Do you ever get that question?
You know, the first thing that you can do is choose your shoes wisely.
Mm-hmm.
That's
choose
the most important
shoes.
Thing. You got to choose your
wow.
shoes wisely. I mean, and then the next question will come is, well, what are the best shoes? That is a very broad question, and there's no one answer for that.
There's no.
There are
wow.
just like body types. People have different body shapes, right? You have people that
right.
have, you know, a C-shaped body, a pear-shaped body. You know, there are different body types. That's the same thing with your foot. There are different foot types. So every, you know, good shoes are going to come in different brands, in different varieties. So, you know, good shoes are going to vary across the line. A good shoe for one person is going to be a horrible shoe for another person. So it really depends on the person's foot type. If you have very flat arches, if you're very flat-footed, you need a shoe that has arch supports and that supports that arch. If you have a very high instep, you're going to need a shoe that allows your foot to clear that instep so the front of your foot's not hitting in the front of that. If you have a very narrow shoe, you need shoes that are a little bit more narrow. If you have a very wide shoe, you need a wider shoe. There is somebody. If the best shoe for somebody is whatever they feel the most comfortable in. So I always advise going into a shoe store of comfort, like a shoe store that specializes in that, having shoe salespeople that are savvy in these different brands and actually in different foot types that could actually propose what type of shoes would be best for them, perhaps even finding shoe stores that have salespeople that are podorthists. So a podorthist is just a little bit more than a shoe salesperson. They know what different foot diagnosis are. They would know what plantar fasciitis is. They would know what, you know, the Latin term for flat foot pes planus is. They would know this sort of terminology. So if you came in with a prescription from your podiatrist saying, I need this type of shoe, they would be well versed in what that is and say, oh, yes, these are the shoes that would be best for you.
Oh, my. Well, this is why we call you the Queen of Toes. There is nobody out there like Dr. Yolanda Ragland. And as I'm doing research, you know, I always prepare for all of our segments on the show, and I came across plantar fasciitis. I said, how do you pronounce this? You know, it was on my list of top ailments that are pertinent to feet, and it was right up there on the list, along with blisters and heel spurs. I should say ingrown toenails, as you address. You address like 90% of these hammer toe bunions. You and athlete's foot, you really addressed all of these in that little bit of time.
I love the fact that you talked about how do you pronounce plantar fasciitis. Since we're winding this up, I'm going to give you a really funny story about plantar fasciitis. So when I first started doing surgery in Maryland, I took out a full-page ad in Sister to Sister. Well, Sister to Sister, unbeknownst to me, circulated amongst all the prison systems in America.
That's the magazine.
And
remember?
I started getting prison fan mail from every penitentiary in America. So this inmate writes me a letter, and he felt plantar fasciitis, which is spelt with two I's back to back. And he spelt plantar fasciitis correctly. And he said, and it's getting worser. I nearly fell out of my chair reading that letter.
Worser. Exactly. For those of you who didn't catch that, now let me tell you, I looked at this and I said, okay, fasci. And I studied Latin as well in school. So I couldn't figure this out. But I said, you know what, Dr. Ragland, I'll bet you she'll mention this on the air today. And sure enough, you did. So I have to say, Dr. Ragland, in addition to your amazing, amazing work that you do, we know that you have offices in both New York and Maryland. You spend a great deal of time in New York with everybody out here. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how we can find you on the internet and all that wonderful good stuff?
Okay, so first of all you listeners, everybody who's listening, I want you to do this right now because I believe in doing things organically. I have competitors out there. They were so jealous of me because they couldn't get past their amount of followers. They went and paid Kardashians so they could get they could get tens of thousands of followers. I still haven't made 10,000 followers. I need to make 10,000 followers on Instagram. I'm Fix Your Feet on Instagram. If you guys can help a sister out, please, right now, if you're listening, please go on to Instagram and follow me, Fix Your Feet. I'm on TikTok as well, Fix Your Feet. I need to get to 1,000 followers on TikTok. I'm at like 800 and something. Please go on TikTok if you're on that platform. You may not be on it, but you should go on it. It's very informative. It'll give you a laugh.
Oh, I love TikTok. It's hilarious.
I'm telling you guys, it was great. And if you guys and see what happened yesterday, Facebook and Instagram went down
yesterday. That's right.
If you didn't have TikTok, you would have had something to go on to. So
you know what? You are absolutely right. We were scammering around. I'm sitting up here going on to Twitter. I hadn't been on Twitter in 6 months. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I literally was
go down, you have the backup. And then again, and I'm on Twitter as well, Fix Your Feet, Inc. But I really need that Fix Your Feet on Instagram and on Twitter, you ladies, right now. And my website is fixyourfeet.com. For the products, it's fixyourfeetproducts.com. But if you go to one or the other, it'll take you can you'll click on it'll take they'll take you to each one of them, and actually the links to all of my social media platforms are on those websites as well. So it's easy to click on there and follow me as well. But please, everyone out here who's listening, you got to help me out because the competitors are haters. And I believe in doing things organically. I'm not going to pay for my followers. I don't think I need to. I've done everything organically. You guys have supported me, and I truly, 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 you know, I truly appreciate it. And if you have a fungal nail out there, I promise you this is the product. This is the stuff that's really, really going to work. It's something that you should always keep in your medicine cabinet. And there's more products to come.
Dr. Yolanda Raglan, I have to say, we just adore you here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, the true queen of toes. You have no competition out there, okay? So fixyourfeet.com, I love that. Fixyourfeet products, I think you said, .com as well. You guys know how to find her, even right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show. We thank you. We appreciate you. And you got to come back soon. This wasn't enough time today. We got to have you back soon.
Certainly.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to mention to you, save the dates in February, the 13th and 14th. I'm working out a brand new workshop right here in New York. This is my first time doing a live show back in New York City, so we definitely will catch up and we will share some information with you. Dr. Yolanda Raglan, thanks so much for being with us. Fixyourfeet.com, folks. Fixyourfeet. Thank you again for being with us today.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and coming back, we'll have Michael Hopkins joining us with Vet Talk Radio. It's a special broadcast today. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more to get to on the Hair Radio Morning Show today.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins. Executive producer Carrie Hines and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right, we're on live. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Network, and I'm Carrie Hines. And if it is Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, it's time for Vet Talk Radio. So it is my honor, it is my pleasure to bring back to the line the one and only Michael Hopkins. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Carrie. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning?
We are doing great, or shall I say welcome back to the line for folks who are just joining us. Yes, Michael had a chance to chime on in early to Dr. Yolanda Raglan's segment. You guys just heard her. She was with us live on this Tuesday morning, October 5th. Michael Hopkins, we're going to jump right on in. I know that on Vet Talk, first of all, let me just officially give you, Nicole, Noor, Katrina, those are Michael's angels. You guys will get a chance to chat with them in just a bit. But first, we have to say congratulations. Congrats to your 10th episode today. Today. So we are giving you the official Hair Radio salute to Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk Radio Show, and to all the listeners you have amassed yourself who are tuned in even right now. We're seeing a lot of folks who are tuned in to catch this episode. Again, it's your number 10 show. And congratulations, Michael Hopkins. What would you like to say about that this morning?
Wow, Carrie. I mean, this journey that we have been on with Vet Talk Radio Show live, I mean, it started out as just an idea, just a dream on my part. And when I brought that dream to you, you decided that it was a worthy dream. And I just want to thank you, your fans of the Hair Radio Show and the network and our fans of Vet Talk. If it wasn't without my veteran brothers and sisters and the civilian population, man, I mean, it just blows me away. And I am just looking forward to the next 10 shows because there's so much information out here for veterans.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of which, I know that we are working on two big things. Coming up in November, of course, we're going to have a huge, huge, huge show that we're excited about. It likely will run clean over into, I'm not even going to say now. We'll share that news very soon, but you will be you're going to have a big, big broadcast in November, of course, for our big holiday coming up that we're super, super excited about for Veterans Day. Also, Michael, want to say next week's broadcast, we might as well get this out right now. We are going to start the Vet Talk Radio Show for next week at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. So you will need to get up just a little bit earlier again, folks, so that you can tune in and get a very special broadcast. It's in honor of these 10 episodes. We're going to be looking back at some of the highlights with the Vet Talk Radio Show, and likely we're going to devote quite a bit of time to the broadcast that day on my show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. So if you're up early, tune in. Whatever time you tune in, you'll likely hear something pertinent to Vet Talk. We're going to be honoring your show next week right here. So tune in at 8 o'clock at the latest and see if you can tune a little earlier to get some special commentary about Vet Talk Radio. So we'll work on all that. Michael, now, listen, folks, if you guys are just joining us, we get updates about what Michael is working on and the show producers and all of that each week. And when I saw this, I was just I had to, give Michael a call. I said, Michael Hopkins, Vet Talk Radio, what's going on? You have to tell me, what is this all about? I was so kind of just taken aback just in the description, but you broke it down for me. So today, Michael Hopkins, I want you to tell everybody a little bit. It's special because we could use some special monthly compensation about now. So what can you, but I think it might be a little different meaning what you have in mind for the veterans. Can you share with us? I know that you're going to do a whole big segment on this. Please tell everybody what special monthly compensation is all about on today's show.
Sure, Carrie. Sure. Well, basically, special monthly compensation is designed to compensate a veteran for reduced earning capacity with the maximum compensation. In other words,
all right.
I know that sounds complicated.
That was a mouthful.
Let me just break it down for everybody. Basically, with special monthly compensation, you have some other things going on as a veteran that you need to be compensated for. In other words, there's some other things going on with you. As we talked last week, we were talking about TDIU or the individual unemployability.
Right.
And for most veterans, we strive to be 100%. That's the maximum by law. That's the maximum that you can have, 100% rating. That's the maximum. However, with your special monthly compensation, it takes into account there's some other things wrong with you, and you need to be compensated for it. That's what special monthly compensation is all about. And I'll give you some perfect examples. There are a lot of my veteran brothers and sisters who need aid and attendance. And basically, that's a fancy way of saying they're in some kind of hospital setting. They need help on a daily basis with little things like bathing, like shaving, like just getting out of bed in the morning, going to appointment. In other words, they need a caregiver. So by them needing a caregiver, the VA has taken all of that into account. So what they've done is they've set aside other monies to allocate to veterans.
Wow.
That's what the special monthly compensation is all about. And unfortunately, a lot of times, Carrie and my fans, a lot of people don't know about it. They stop at the 100%, and they still have other issues.
Yeah,
and they think that's it. Think, oh, wow, well, I'm at 100%. I'm permanent in total. That's it for me. But it's not it for you. If you have other issues that the VA should be recognizing, you should file for your special monthly compensation.
Boy, the veterans should love you, Michael Hopkins, because you really, you delve into little known things like I would have never, because to me, when you hear 100%, you're thinking that's it. You can't get any more, but it looks like there's a whole lot more out there for you. So my goodness, wow, amazing. Wow.
Oh, yes.
So what
Yeah, go right ahead, Michael. As I said, the aid in attendance, they even break
right.
it down by letters of the alphabet, and it gets even deeper. And we don't have time right now in this show to go into the special monthly K and S and A and this and that. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Suppose, for example, you're a veteran and you can't see. You're blind. You're legally blind. You're entitled to special monthly compensation. Being
that
legally
simple.
Blind. It's just that
wow.
simple. You're entitled to it. And a lot of times, a lot of us as veterans just don't know these things. A lot of times, and I give a big shout out to a lot of our veterans organizations. They are fantastic organizations helping veterans. And as I said before, what the problem is, a lot of those veterans organizations are being overrun by disabled veterans. They are, in other words,
what
Harry,
do you mean by
they are
that?
More
Michael,
of us
yeah.
than them. What I mean is
oh,
they
so
are more
wow.
disabled veterans than they are
yeah.
people to help them. There aren't
wow.
20 me. There aren't 20 people like me out here, 50, 100, 200 people that are actually allowed to help veterans, because there's a process, and that's going to be another show that I'm going to talk about to get into about the process of being able to help veterans, because there's a process
wow.
with that. But there's not enough people to help veterans. There are not enough.
Wow.
As you know, Carrie, we just talked about 9/11, and we also touched on Afghanistan. The war is over. But you have, unfortunately, you have a lot of veterans that are disabled from the war, not only physically, but mentally. There are a lot of disabled veterans. And it may not be coming out now from Iraq and Afghanistan, but it will be soon. It will be coming out that a lot of people that were there are disabled veterans, and they need help.
So, Michael, is it possible that they may not, when they come home from Afghanistan or where have you, they may not show symptoms of things like PTSD or what have you? Is it possible that years later something might kind of click or start, or have you heard of cases like that?
Every time, Carrie. Every time.
Wow.
Carrie, every time. It's going to happen to veterans. It's going to happen. And what I would say to the veteran's family, loved ones, significant others, somebody, a veteran that you care about, please pay attention. Pay attention to that veteran. Watch what that veteran does carefully. Don't just blow it off as that's my crazy Uncle George again, ha, ha, ha. No, pay attention to that veteran, because that veteran is telling you something. They may not verbally tell you, but a lot of them are going to have issues, not only physical issues and challenges, but mental issues and challenges. All of us collectively have to pay attention, because It's just like when we hit the Vietnam era veterans, a lot of those guys are getting older now. A lot of them that I encounter, my veterans groups, these guys are late 60s, 70s, 80s. Some of them are even into their 90s. And a lot of them still have PTSD combat. Some of them have PTSD non-combat. Some of them have sleep apnea. They have disorders. They have all kinds of mental health and physical issues. And a lot of times we're not trained professionals, Carrie. You know, we're not medical professionals, but we can pay attention as somebody who cares about a veteran. I can look at a veteran and I can tell that they have issues. Not that I'm a genius. I'm a veteran that has issues. I'm 100% disabled veteran, permanent and total. I know when another veteran has issues, either physically or emotionally. I know when they do. And I can talk to them times a lot easier and a lot better than a regular person like a civilian, because I'm going through what they go through on a daily basis. It's not pretty. It's not fun all the time to be in chronic pain or to have memories of things that happened to you long ago. And it's like a recording, like the old VHS tapes we used to have back in the day. It just plays over and over again, over and over, over and over.
On loop. Wow.
Yeah, it's on loop, man. I mean, it's just like, wow. And that's why
Michael
we get together.
I am just blown away. Is there anything else you can tell us really quickly about the special monthly compensation? We know this will be a topic that you will be continuing right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show on an upcoming show very soon right here. But is there anything else you want to leave us with the monthly, special monthly compensation?
Monthly
I call
compensation.
SMC.
Sure.
Yes.
I sure do, Carrie. If there's a veteran out there or a veteran's loved ones and they think that the veteran is qualified for it, the first step, if you have a representative from one of these fine organizations or you find a representative, that's one of the first steps. Talk to a representative, say from the DAV, that's the Disabled American Veterans, the AMVETS, American Veterans Organization. You have the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars. You have American Legion. A lot of them are qualified to help veterans with the claims process, and they're very knowledgeable of the special monthly compensation. So that would be my first advice. Go talk to some of them and see if you qualify. Go through your medical records that you have amassed since going to the VA hospital, private doctors. Look at things. Some things are obvious, Carrie. Like if you're missing eyesight, a leg, a limb, you're paralyzed from the neck up, from the stomach down and so forth, those are obvious things. Some things are not so obvious, but that would be my first step. My second step is to get educated. You can go on the Internet. You can search special monthly compensation. You can go to va.gov. That is the VA's official website. And you can type in the search bar, special monthly compensation, and it will literally bring it up for you. It will explain to you, and I know it's in that government language, but it gives you a basis to understand what special monthly compensation is, how it can affect you. Be mindful.
Well, Michael, that is some good advice, folks. You've heard it right here on Vet Talk Radio Show. Michael Hopkins, I want to just take a moment and turn. I understand that we have that we've lost someone that's close to you. So I just want to acknowledge this person. Can you tell us who it is and what he meant to you really quickly?
Oh, yes, I sure can, Karen, and it's very emotional for me. And he was a good friend of mine. He was a veteran. He's a 20-year veteran, retired. His name was Willie Keith.
Wow.
And I reflected back. We used to call him the Key Man. That was his nickname. He was the Key Man. And he was a business partner with me. He was an entrepreneur. He was just one hell of a guy. I don't know any other way to say it. And he was very enjoyable up until recently. him and I, we would communicate with each other, Facebook, we call each other, and then what I didn't realize, this COVID-19 struck him. And he went to the hospital along with his brother and his mother. They were all in the hospital suffering from COVID-19. And he had underlying health issues because a few years back he had a massive stroke. He had to learn how to talk again and walk and all that good stuff. And it was just unbelievable.
Well, can we do a quick moment of silence in memory of this gentleman?
Yes, sir, we sure can. We sure can.
And Michael Hopkins, I want to thank you so much. Now, let's just shift the gears a little bit this morning. We talked about it's your 10th episode right here on our network. We're so happy to have you. And the Angels, I want to kind of bring them on in also just to share what their thoughts are on being part of this whole experience. So we're talking about, they may not know that they're jumping on the air, but we've got Nicole, we've got Noor, we've got Katrina joining us this morning just to change it up just for a little bit. Guys, you're all right here along with Michael Hopkins, and I'm Gary Hines. You're on the Vet Talk Radio Show. These are Michael's Angels. They are the producers of the broadcast. Katrina, are you there? Nicole,
yes.
Noor.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with Katrina. Katrina, what are your thoughts this morning? This is your 10th episode being part of this. So we're going to just go ahead and, give us a quick sense or two. What has this meant for you in terms of 10 episodes? Can you believe it?
I can't believe it, but it is, like, awesome. And I love it because, like, when Michael Hopkins has taught me a lot. I've learned so much from him about veterans and things that they go through, and I'm so honored to be a part of this.
Thank you, Katrina. That is just awesome. Michael, did you hear that? Real nice. Okay,
oh,
yes, Noor Jahan, what do you have to say this morning?
I have to agree with Katrina on that because this is such a huge opportunity to be a part of, and I'm learning so much too. Like I said before, I'm just taking notes because he's just educating me on some of the things that I didn't even know existed. I wrote all of those.
Me either.
Sites down. DAB, MVET, VFWAL, VA.gov. So, yeah, I'm going to be able to share this information.
Awesome.
So, thank you,
Michael. Thank you, Noor Jahan. And Michael, of course. Nicole, what about you?
It has just been a wonderful opportunity. And just like Noor, I have my notebook and I'm constantly taking notes, whether I'm on the show and listening to Michael or off the air. When I talk to him, I'm always taking notes. He's always giving information, and it's always a learning experience.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Michael Hopkins, the man himself. Michael, what do you say when you hear all this wonderful good stuff? It's been 10 episodes of Vet Talk Radio Show. You guys are doing a special one-hour show next Tuesday. So tune in at 8 o'clock. There you go. Tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning for Vet Talk next Tuesday morning for a special retro show. So we're going to have a lot of new commentary, all kinds of stuff. But Michael, what do you really say when you hear this?
It's a dream come true. It's just something that was on my heart to just help other veterans because it's all about
the veterans. You guys, you're making it into a reality, and I want to take a moment to just make sure that we salute the veterans who tune in every day to this, every time you're on, I should say, to Vet Talk Radio Show. Listen, I want to get this on. This is just a little piece that we're going to end the show out with, and we'll come right back for a quick word or two. This was done by one of your producers. It's the Vet Talk segment on some of the celebrities out there who served as veterans. Take a listen.
Sherman Alexander Hemsley was born on February 1st, 1938, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hemsley attended Bach
Technical High School for 10th grade before deciding to drop out and enlist in the military. Hemsley's military service included serving in the United States Air Force for 4 years in Japan and Korea in the late 1950s. Turning to the United States and leaving the Air Force, he worked for the Postal Service and began studying acting on the side. In the late 1960s, he appeared in a host of off-Broadway productions before landing the supporting role in Pearly, a 1970s Broadway musical. Hemsley joined the cast of All in the Family in 1973 as the iconic George Jefferson. In 1975, the spinoff, The Jeffersons, began production and enjoyed 11 seasons. Hemsley joined the cast of A Man as Deacon Ernest Fry and played a voice actor in the movie Dinosaurs. Hemsley was nominated for an Emmy in 1984 and a Golden Globe in 1985 for The Jeffersons. He won an NAACP Image Award in 1982 and was inducted into the Television Academy Hall of Fame in 2012. In addition to acting, Hemsley had a musical career. In 1989, he released a single track, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, and followed with 1990's Dance, a rhythm and blues album. A very private man, Hemsley never married or had children. He succumbed to cancer on July 24, 2012 in El Paso, Texas. Our vet spotlight, Mr. Sherman Alexander Hemsley.
Oh, wow. Listen, Nicole, first of all, great job on that. And again, Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael Hopkins, what do you think? Sherman Hemsley, first of all, I didn't know that. He's from Philadelphia. I do know that much. And I had a chance
yes,
to sit beside him. Yes, I sat beside Sherman Hemsley when he was a guest way back in the 90s on the Arsenio Hall Show. So that's my Sherman Hemsley connection. So thank you, Nicole. Great job. One of the angels, one of Michael's
fantastic
angels, along with Noor
fantastic
and Katrina. Yeah,
job.
Really great stuff. So, Michael, you've got the last word here today. What do you want to share with everybody? And what about next week? We're talking about a special hour broadcast, looking back over some of the first 10 episodes of Vet Talk Radio Show. What do you want?
Wow,
what's the take-home message for all this work?
Take-home message? Once again, my friend, it's all about the vets. That's what this show is all about. All about the vets.
All about the vets. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and get the outro started. I want to again say thank you to Michael Hopkins, to Katrina, Noor, Nicole, and to the entire team at Hair Radio, to all of us, and to our wonderful fans and your fans of Vet Talk Radio Show for tuning in. Next week, we'll get you on the air if you have some questions and so forth. So make sure to dial in early because Michael and the team will be on at 8 Eastern, 7 o'clock Central Time, and it'll be a very special broadcast. You're going to be part of that broadcast, so folks, definitely tune in. Michael Hopkins, thank you so much. Here's the outro.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show...